Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Something that speaks to the truth that lives within you and me, and maybe we will just find that which is the very meaning of our own existence. Please join me Saturday and Sundays at 9 a.m. here on KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The latest report on flu is not encouraging. Virtually all the flu in the United States this season is resistant to the leading drug, Tamiflu, and scientists say they don't know exactly why. University of Michigan influenza expert Dr. Arnold Monto.
It started out in countries which practically don't use Tamiflu. So we think this was some kind of a spontaneous mutation.
Other drugs still work against this year's flu bug, but experts say it is shocking how fast this antimicrobial drug was defeated by the virus it's supposed to kill. To get to Seattle, Washington from Portland, Oregon, a distance of nearly 175 miles, you have to fly. The roads and the rails in between are flooded out.
I'm Chris Sullivan walking through 3 feet of water in the middle of I-5. And the water is expected to keep on rising as the nearby Chehalis River overtops the levees.
We'll see just how bad it gets. Boy, I hate to see this again, especially for the people who have experienced it before.
13 feet of water swamped this same stretch of freeway back in 2007. I-5 is expected to remain closed for several days.
Rivers in 14 counties are out of their banks and running wild. Hezbollah is believed to have fired a couple of rockets into northern Israel from Lebanon while Israeli troops fight Hamas in Gaza.
The humanitarian crisis in Gaza took a turn for the worse today when the UN suspended aid operations. UN officials were furious after the driver of one of their aid trucks was killed, allegedly by Israeli army fire. Now, the UN says there are already severe shortages of food, fuel, and running water in Gaza, and the sewage system is collapsing.
CBS's Robert Berger. Citigroup got on board a plan today to have bankruptcy judges rework the terms of mortgages on the foreclosure bubble. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin.
I want to commend Citigroup. They showed real leadership on this. First major financial institution to step forward and to say, we understand this is a crisis in America. The current efforts, as good as they may be, have not resulted in a dramatic change or reduction in the number of mortgage foreclosures.
Other major banks are expected to follow Citi's lead. Barack Obama told Congress today he needs huge economic stimulus, and he needs it now.
It is time to set a new course for this economy, and that change must begin now.
Lacking his economic stimulus plan, he says the nation could plunge into years of recession and misery. Senator Ted Kennedy was back on the Hill today. CBS's Wyatt Andrews caught up with him.
How are you feeling?
I feel very well. You know, some days are better than others, but very, very well. We had a great hearing today, important one.
Senator Kennedy is battling brain cancer, and his presence in the Senate always sends a ripple through the room. On Wall Street, the Dow closed down about 27 points on the day. The Nasdaq gained about 18 points, and oil prices closed a little over $42 a barrel. This is CBS News.
In a world where brilliant tech professionals are forced to deal with mindless coworkers,
should this be plugged in?
Incompetent bosses.
Yeah, I'm gonna need you to come in on Saturday.
And job sites that don't know tech from dreck.
I said I'm a Java developer. That's got nothing to do with coffee.
There's only one hope for salvation. Dice.com. Dice is the number one technology job board. For over 17 years, Dice has focused exclusively on tech jobs, meaning you won't waste time sifting through the garbage you'll find on other job sites. Go to Dice.com to find thousands of jobs all across the country. Software engineers, DBAs, project managers, systems administrators, web developers, and more. Visit Dice.com today. Dice.com.
When it comes to racism, most white people tend to try to ignore it rather than confront it. It's a new study.
When Yale researcher Jack DeVideo described incidents of racism to a group of non-blacks, they tended to respond by saying they would intervene if they ever encountered anything like that. But when they were actually exposed to confrontations involving racial slurs,
they didn't shun or avoid or do anything to correct the person who made a racist remark.
This study in Science suggests because of an unconscious bias, even well-meaning people say one thing and do another. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
Researchers at Oxford University say playing the video game Tetris immediately after a violence appears to reduce the flashbacks and other plagues of post-traumatic stress disorder. It was a pure science experiment into how the brain works. Manipulating the shapes and colors of the game dominated the sensory part of the brain, pushing the traumatic images out of the way. And the benefits lasted a while. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, we're back with Worry Line. Who are we talking with?
It's Cameron.
Cameron, what's worrying you today?
I'm freaking out.
Really? You don't sound like you're freaking out.
I know. That's what's freaking me out.
Okay, try and calm down.
I am calm.
So what's making you so calm? It's your mother, isn't it?
No, Mom's cool. It's my Volkswagen.
Oh.
It came with carefree maintenance.
And this has made you feel different, hasn't it?
Totally. Mm-hmm. I used to worry about my car all the time, but now I don't. Mm. What is happening to me?
I think you may be having an anti-anxiety attack.
A what?
Yes, it's an overwhelming sensation that everything is totally under control.
Okay, what do I do?
Nothing. There's no problem.
Cool. I guess I don't need you.
What? Hello?
Stop into your local Volkswagen dealer and ask about the Carefree Maintenance Program. No charge scheduled maintenance for 3 years or 36,000 miles, whichever comes first, on all 2009 Volkswagen models. Peace of mind. It's what the people want.
The Carefree Maintenance Program covers the vehicle's scheduled maintenance during the terms of the new vehicle warranty at no additional charge. Some limitations apply. See dealer for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. And the B does not stand for Blagojevich. I don't have that kind of hair either. We got a great show lined up for you today. Lots to talk about, great people to talk with, and your phone calls welcome. Whenever the urge strikes you at 888-5-PETER-B. Not quite a summer night, but we've got a warming trend here in California. It's up into the 60s today. It feels kind of nice. Just across the bay from me, Oakland is hot. After a BART cop shot a rider at a station, an unarmed guy who was shot in the back hours after the new year broke. Angry citizens took to the streets, and some went too far. But there is a legitimate beef there. Coming up later this hour, Mel Goodman returns to our program, a former analyst at the Central Intelligence Agency, the author of the book Failure of Intelligence, published in 08. And we'll get his comments on Leon Panetta, Barack Obama's choice to head the agency. Next hour, Scott Dick will be with us, our regular contributor on military and veterans issues. We got a lot to talk about, the Israel-Palestine conflict there in Gaza. Also, Panetta and Dianne Feinstein's resistance initially. And the news today that there will be no Purple Hearts issued to veterans returning with post-traumatic stress disorder. And much more to talk about with Scott, too. And he has promised a Palin moment that will crack you up. He didn't say whether it was Michael Palin from Monty Python or that other Palin from Alaska. And in our third hour today, special guest Rabbi Michael Lerner from the Tikkun community and also the chair of Spiritual Progressives, the Network of Spiritual Progressives, and we'll get his thoughts on how to get a ceasefire in Gaza. That's all ahead on the program today, 888-5-PETER-B. If you want to talk with me, email peter at peterbcollins.com. And our free book offer continues. I purged the Bush-bashing bookshelf during the holidays. Anybody who calls into the program, all you got to do is say, do I get a book? And I'll offer you a choice, as we want to put these in the hands of people who will appreciate them. Faz Shakir is Research Director at the Center for American Progress, and he oversees the Daily Progress Report and their blog that gets updated almost every hour at thinkprogress.org. Faz, Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, Peter.
How you holding up?
I'm doing great. You know, it's busy. We're chugging along and excited for the inauguration, upcoming inauguration next, actually, what is it, 10 days from now?
It is 12 days away.
12 days from now, yeah.
Yeah. And tell me what Washington is like right now and how you keep up with all the things that are breaking.
Well, it's actually incredibly busy these days. There's a lot of news going on. I think it might be because we're approaching the end of the Bush administration. There's a lot of things going on with respect to that, but also just generally incoming Obama administration stuff. And then just, like, there's things going on in the world, the Gaza-Israel situation, economic recession stimulus. So it's actually been quite active, much more active than perhaps I didn't even anticipate.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot going on, and let's dive in here. First of all, I wanted to get your thoughts. You're a law school graduate, and I am just very pleased with the president-elect's picks for the Office of Legal Counsel, Don Johnson, a fiery progressive who's been a very sharp critic of the torture and detention policies that originally emanated from Jay Bybee and John Yoo in that very office. And she also was a very, staunch supporter of the right to choose when she worked for NARAL Pro-Choice.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing. She said in one of her writings that we must regain our ability to feel outrage whenever our government acts lawlessly. I thought that was just a fantastic quote, because it not only captured the substance of the matter, which is the government, i.e. Bush administration, acted lawlessly and on a variety of issues, and she made the substance case on both wiretapping and torture and even a number of other things if you read a lot of her other writings. But she also captured the tone. She captured the feeling. She captured the sentiment of many, as you said, lefty progressives who felt like there's nobody there who is capturing the anger and the disgust and the desire for accountability. And this is exactly what she was arguing. And so it's really uplifting to hear that there'll at least be one person who thinks like us, Peter.
Well, and Leon Panetta is a man I've known since he served in the Congress from our flagship radio station area. Carmel Valley is where the station is licensed to, and that's where he lives. And I, at first, was surprised by this. And I thought of his kind of centrist past and his conciliatory skills and consensus-building skills. But the more I've thought about it, this is a delightful pick, because here's a man who comes from outside the agency, but he's not a stranger to the inner workings of government. And I think that he will put the CIA on the right track while sending a very clear message authorized by his commander-in-chief that torture and the extra-legal and flatly illegal activities of the past will not be tolerated, will not be engaged in the future.
Perhaps Dianne Feinstein's opposition to him helped persuade you?
I love seeing her get those bloomers all wrapped up in a bunch there.
But I agree with you. He's an outside-the-box pick, which is why all of us were a little bit like, really? Is that who it's going to be? That's interesting. But as you said, the more you think about it, the skills are there. The experience is there. It's certainly somebody who's outside the box, but in that way, I think offers a unique opportunity that other career intelligence officials would not have, and that is, namely, that he knows the process better than anybody. I mean, he knows how to get his budget increased if that's what he's looking to do. He knows how to get the ear of the president if that's what he's looking to do. He knows how to create a political wave, if that's what he's trying to do, with sounding the warnings about CIA intelligence and reports. So yeah, he's not going to be a shrinking violet. I think many people had said, including Feinstein, that, oh, I wanted a career intelligence professional, i.e. Michael Hayden. But look at how Michael Hayden acted like Colin Powell did before the war, where as a loyal soldier who, when told orders, simply said, okay, I'll follow them, and didn't stand up to him. And I think it's partly because he was never in a position to have to stand up powers of authority. And Leon Panetta, that has been his life, as both as a congressman and then as chief of staff and Office of Management Budget Director, standing up and speaking truth to power. So I think that he's well positioned to, in the event that there's a disagreement or anything, to step up and say, no, that's not the right way to do this.
I also think that the free spending waves, the blank checks offered by the Bush administration to CIA and every other intelligence service, that we're going to see some accountability there, some reining in, and maybe some of these contractors who were hired on no-bid deals after 9/11 will be more carefully evaluated. So,
and one of the most important parts of this, is, Peter, is that he represents a break from Bush, which certainly we should overlook. You know, I think Obama and the administration looked very hard for finding somebody who wasn't tainted with any affiliations with torture and wiretapping, rendition and whatever else, all the other crimes of the Bush administration, and they found somebody who has spoken eloquently against torture and has laid out the progressive view and all these things. So we should certainly give credit to that we aren't picking somebody who's down that same path.
Now, it fascinated me as well that John Conyers took the occasion of the first session of Congress to announce his plans, or at least his desire, to convene a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And while I, you know, resist this commission idea because I'd rather see criminal prosecutions, I accept it as what is probably the best politically available option. And I'm pleased that he tied it as well to critical election reforms. And so I think that's a good start for this new Congress in terms of righting the wrongs of the past and providing at least some measure of full disclosure and accountability.
And there's a lot of support for that, Peter. I'm sure you know this, but on change.gov, which is the transition site, there's a feature called Open for Questions that allows basically ordinary citizens to write questions and then have others vote on them. So you, in essence, get the most popular question voted on there.
And did you find all of my screen names under that particular heading? I had to use 36 different screen names, Faz.
I did know what the number one submission is, though, and that is the question, will you appoint a special prosecutor, ideally Patrick Fitzgerald, to independently investigate the gravest crimes of the Bush administration, including torture and warrantless wiretapping? That was submitted by Bob Furtick, who wrote Democrats.com.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, there's a lot of fervor and desire for this, and they're making their voices heard, and credit to the Obama administration for allowing such a tool to allow those voices to be heard.
Yeah, and I do appreciate that, and I did, in fact, go in there once. I didn't put up 36 different, but I was alerted to that by Bob Furtick. It's something, you know, I'm passionate about, and I was pleased to, you know, vote once, and I'm pleased to see that it's gotten that kind of recognition. Now, we see players on the team who could advance those elements of the agenda that we're just talking about here.
Right, it remains John Johnson particularly, who has spoken about this very issue. She said that there needs to be accountability for, quote, our nation's past transgressions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I hope that that is sanctioned by the president, because we really don't have a clear reading. He has rejected the excesses of the past, but he appears to be resistant to, he made one comment during the campaign that he didn't want the first 4 years tied up in a political witch hunt. Well, I don't want a witch hunt either, and I don't want it to become too political. But it will have political overtones no matter how it occurs, because it was the preceding Republican administration that actively proceeded to break the law, condone law breaking, and really try to provide a bizarre legal framework for illegal activities.
Right. I think this is going to require a lot of pressure, Peter. I think you know that. I know that. That this isn't something that naturally Obama and the Obama administration, I think, want to do. They'd rather turn the page and say, okay, fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to take a lot of pressure, and that the question on change.gov is one of them. But we need to keep the heat on for, I think, in the months after President Bush has left office, there's going to be this desire to say, well, he's no longer relevant. Remember when Alberto Gonzalez left, there was that problem that he's no longer Attorney General, so we shouldn't really care about any of the things he did. I think that's going to play itself out again, and so we have to be the ones who are reminding and constantly beating the drum.
And you mentioned Alberto at Think Progress. You've got an item that poor Mr. Gonzalez says he can't get a gig. And it's because of the economy.
Yes. it's because of the economy, and the other day he also argues because of the bloggers, because we had unfairly tainted his name.
Oh. I think it's his amnesia problem. Nobody wants to hire somebody who can't remember what he did last
can't
month.
Can't recall.
We'll take a break and return with Faz Shakir. Take up the case of Senator Roland Burris, the Democrat from Illinois. Do they have a seat for him? Do they have a seat for him? More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for joining me today. KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Can choice be saved? On Thursday, January 22nd, please join Planned Parenthood Mar Monti in commemorating the 36th anniversary of the landmark Roe v. Wade decision. Join us for our annual luncheon, Can Obama Save Choice? Attorney Mickey Welsh will address these questions and more. The event will be held at the Hyatt Regency in Monterey on January 22nd from 11:15 to 1:15. Tickets are $25 for students and $35 for general public. For more information and to RSVP, please call Christina at 784-1109, extension 103. That's 784-1109, extension 103.
My name is R.J. Moyer, President of Family Heritage Management Services. I am a retirement specialist, and I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. With securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your banker or broker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 831-794-8485 to receive your free brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup in our Salinas location. Call 831-794-8485. It's a new market, and it's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485. If you transfer your IRA, 401k, or any of your retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, $700,000 becomes $770,000. It's a new market. It's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485.
We all know the economy is experiencing some rough times, but some people seem to thrive even in tougher times than this. Want to own their secrets for yourself? Now you can dissolve away your own barriers and blocks to prosperity and success in life despite negative circumstances. Attend a very special transformational two-day event in beautiful Asilomar. The Monterey Center, your one stop for mind, body, spirit wellness, proudly presents How to Prosper and Flourish with international personal transformation and success leader Ronaldo R. Robles, coming to the Monterey Peninsula in Asilomar for 2 days only on Saturday, January 31st and February 1st, 2009. Seating is limited. Call now to 831-641-9812 to reserve your ticket to success at Inspiring Asilomar Conference Grounds today. Call 831-641-9812. That number again, 641-9812.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Faz Shakir. He's Research Director at the Center for American Progress. Get the Progress Report delivered free to your inbox. It'll be emailed to you. Just log on to progressreport.org and give them your email. Also, thinkprogress.org is a great place to check for updates on breaking news. And Monday, Faz, we spent half an hour with veteran Chicago political reporter Dick Kay. And at the beginning, I butchered a metaphor saying, well, in tennis, we would say advantage Blagojevich. And by the end of the discussion, I said, well, we're shifting to chess. This is checkmate. And it just seemed bizarre that on Tuesday, they gave him the cold shoulder, sent him out in the rain. And by Wednesday, Harry Reid and Dick Durbin were apparently accepting that they don't really have a way of blocking the seating of this appointed senator.
Yeah, I think the problem was they came out too early with this really
no way, Jose.
Statement. Yeah, exactly. There's no room for any maneuvering. I don't think that needed to be done. They came out the first day saying, oh, we aren't going to seat him at all. And I think it would have been wiser to not be so gung-ho and say, okay, well, we'll take a look at this, but we're concerned that it'll have some taint, and then establish your opposition over time based on the merits of the case. But such is the way that Harry Reid operated and often operates, that he often comes out with the strongest objections first and then backs down over time.
It is a stinky situation, there's no doubt about it, but under the law, I think their hands are tied, and clearly they want this problem to go away, so late Friday, that's when it'll be announced, right?
Yeah, and there were so many other options for Democrats how they wanted to handle this problem in a different way. First, they could have obviously impeached Governor Blagojevich before he had the opportunity to make this appointment. Now they are doing so. I think that actually, as we speak, they're having an impeachment vote. So that'll probably be done hopefully by tomorrow. But also, they could have held a special election or any other.
The special election would have required the governor's signature.
Yeah.
At least a whole round of having him veto it and then override the veto.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it would have required that state house action before the governor had acted.
I've never seen Dick Durbin as flat-footed as this. Honestly, I like the guy. I think he's very sharp, and in many ways I favor him over Harry Reid as the Democratic leader.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I think he really misfired on multiple occasions.
Well, Bobby Rush and a whole host of other African-American congressmen came out and laid it on pretty thick and said, if you're opposing this, then there's hints of racism there. And I think that actually had a damaging impact on the debate. I think it's...
And I'm really sorry to see that. That's the Clarence Thomas card just being played by the other party.
Yeah, it really was, and it was really unfortunate to see the language that particularly Bobby Rush was using. But it sounds like, and I don't know this for sure, but it sounds like there's a backstory involved here, that Obama, feeling some pressure, may have indicated to Reid and or Durbin that let's just seat this guy and have this over with, because this is dragging on too long, and it had not even been their call.
Put him next to Joe Lieberman.
Exactly. Well, which is another case, by the way, of Harry Reid offering some bluster early on and then backing down over the course of time.
Lead story of the Progress Reports about the economy, stimulus, and tax cuts being a central element of that. And I have mixed feelings. I want Obama to follow through on his tax cut pledge for the middle class that he made during the campaign. But it appears to mollify Republicans and maintain this post-partisanship that I am very skeptical of, Faz, that they're caving in to allow some corporate tax cuts that really don't fit into the current situation. And these corporations have lost so much money, they're not going to pay taxes for the next 5 years.
Right. Right. That's exactly our concern, is that if you're talking about the middle class tax cuts, there's a fine justification for that, including the fact that Obama ran on and there's a mandate for that, which is fine. But these other tax cuts for big businesses, which include expensing and a whole host of other bonus depreciation items involved in there that are just basically corporate giveaways and are not, most importantly, are just not smart maneuvers to stimulate the economy. These are things that are just simply handouts to businesses that are not going to be creating jobs, by receiving this little bit of extra pocket cash. I think that we could better use that money by targeting it directly at those who have been impacted, namely those who are all unemployed and receiving unemployment benefits, those on Medicaid, and those who are out of manufacturing work.
And, Faz, you know how the Republicans don't like to give tax breaks to people who don't pay taxes? Well, I don't think we should give corporate tax breaks to corporations that don't pay taxes.
There you go.
Let's start there. Faz, thank you very much. We'll talk again next week.
Sure. Take care, Peter.
Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress. Mel Goodman, expert on the CIA, joins me next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family-owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas, too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
The Osgood Files, sponsored by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Yes, it's lonely at the top, but not as lonely as it used to be.
Good to see you.
More on the Presidential Mutual Support Society after this from Charlie.
Thank you, Dave. Did you know that the most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, AMD? It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you're not seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message is brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
With Medicare Part D, you'll pay about the same copay anywhere. No wonder seniors are choosing America's most trusted pharmacy, Walgreens. There's no more shopping around for price, so join the millions by transferring your prescriptions to Walgreens. Just bring in your bottles and they'll do the rest. Not only will you get great service and convenience at Walgreens, you'll also feel safer knowing you have just one pharmacy helping you manage all your medicines. Walgreens accepts most Medicare Part D plans.
We're learning a little more about Barack Obama, and one of the things we're learning is that he seems to have an insatiable need to spread cheer. There he was in the White House with two Bushes, a Clinton, Jimmy Carter.
I just want to thank the President for hosting us. This is an extraordinary gathering. All the gentlemen here understand both the pressures and possibilities of this office.
Handshakes and smiles, and they can do it without the slightest hint of discomfort. You wonder, what's the reality? The two-minute photo op or the two-year campaign where it's all snarky comments and ominous music? The elder Bush standing with Bill Clinton, the man who defeated him. Of course, they've been fast friends since getting into the charity business. Jimmy Carter, who called the Bush administration the worst in history, prompting Bush to call Carter a terrific ex-president. There they were, gathered together to support the new guy. And there was Barack Obama standing next to the guy he kept trying to morph McCain into, but President Bush, he was over it.
All of us who have served in this office understand that the office itself transcends the individual. And we wish you all the very best, and so does the country.
It's amazing. I think it's great. That's how it should be in every office. Everybody rallies around the new guy. But my question is, if the harmonious photo op is the reality, what's actually going on during these campaigns? I guess it's like the guys in the bar who break chairs over each other and then are best pals once the beer wears off. Maybe if presidents did this kind of thing more often, it would stop bar fights. I'm telling you, it's the Pox Obama. Of course, if he's really good, let's see him pacify Ann Coulter.
Liberals want conservatives to stop talking so that you can keep telling us how marvelous the Hussein Obama is.
Even Matt Lauer couldn't pull that off.
You can't keep voting present.
The Osgood File. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays from 3 to 5. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show. So please, if you tune in on Saturdays and hear basketball, you can hear me on Sundays from 3 to 5. The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Cornerstone Wellness Center on Cass Street in Monterey. Remember, if you tune in and hear basketball from 3 to 5 on Saturday, I'll be on Sunday, 3 to 5. The Sheila Show.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. This half hour, Mel Goodman joins us to talk about Obama's picks in the intelligence community.
Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic stuck. And you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day.
There goes Bono and U2. I'm still waiting for the New York Times to debut a Bono op-ed piece. They rumored that starting last August, and I haven't seen anything further on it. But I think it would be kind of interesting to see if he could write on a daily or weekly basis some interesting commentaries. Mel Goodman joins us this half hour. He worked at the CIA for many years, and he is a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy and an adjunct professor of government at Johns Hopkins University. He has more than 40 years at CIA, the State Department's Bureau of Intelligence, and over at the Department of Defense. His most recent book is called Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA. Mel Goodman, welcome back.
Thank you, Peter B. Good to be with you again.
Well, it's nice to have you on, and I am eager to get your comments about Leon Panetta and some of the others, including Admiral Dennis Blair, appointed by Barack Obama and subject to Senate confirmation. But if you won't be too embarrassed by this, I'd like to frame our conversation around the bullet points in the final chapter of your book, Failure of Intelligence, because you offered a blueprint for correcting the errors of the past 8 years and strengthening the agency and the community in fundamental ways. And I just want to tick off a few of these, and then we'll see to what extent they apply in particular to Leon Panetta. First point was demilitarizing the intelligence community. The next point here is demilitarizing national security policy, organizing for operational activity, revive congressional oversight, reform of clandestine operations and covert action, end torture and abuse, tell truth to power, the abuse of secrecy that needs to be corrected, stanching the exodus of great people from the community, organizing for intelligence analysis, and you also talk about a few other issues, the importance of sharing intelligence, which gets into the restructuring that created the Tsar, the DNI, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But those key points that you outlined in your book and that I just referenced, for me, apply quite well to the surprise pick of former Congressman Leon Panetta to direct the CIA.
Oh, I am not embarrassed, and I thoroughly agree. I think if you look at the list, particularly in terms of demilitarization of the intelligence community, demilitarization of the CIA, demilitarization of national security, the pick of Panetta is an important one. And after all, Obama did say during the campaign that he wanted to demilitarize the CIA, and he voted against General Michael Hayden when he came up for approval in the Senate for the CIA's position as director.
Right.
Now, so if you're going to reform the covert action and reform the clandestine operational core, you could start with Panetta. I think that would be a very good starting point. Panetta has already come out strongly against torture and abuse. He's come out against renditions. And I think in terms of secrecy, I would think there would be more openness with Leon Panetta. We don't know about intelligence sharing, but I don't see any reason to think that he wouldn't be aware of the incompetence involving sharing. These weren't institutional problems. These were problems of competence, problems of sloppiness on the part of people who had information regarding 9/11 that didn't get to the right people. And I think Panetta, who's such a veteran of the executive branch, who was a consumer of intelligence, who ran the Office of Management and Budget, he would be very strong in this area. I think it's just an outstanding appointment. It caught me totally by surprise.
Me too.
I've been lobbying for an outsider. I suggest some names, and frankly, I hadn't thought of Leon Panetta. But I remember hearing him. I don't know him, but I've heard him lecture. He used to come over to the National War College from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very sound man, a very savvy man, a political operative in the best sense of the word, who's has friends on both sides of the aisle. I think it's just an outstanding appointment, and I was particularly glad to see it because this is the first international security appointment that I really liked. I wasn't happy keeping Gates at defense.
Yeah.
I'm not particularly enamored with the thought of having Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, but she's already done something that I think is very important and very wise that pleases me.
Which is? Go ahead.
Well, the fact that she's going to name a deputy for management and budget, someone who was an official in the Clinton administration who knows this area very well, because if you're going to get the State Department back on its feet, they're going to have to do better lobbying on the Hill and be more astute in how they approach the Hill on budgetary matters. They just haven't gotten their share of the federal pie in this regard, and they've been outmaneuvered by the military over and over again. So if we're going to talk about demilitarization, we have to build up the State Department. We have to build up arms control and disarmament. I'm going to wait until I see other regional appointments because I have a feeling some of the good people at State Department, such as William Burns, will be replaced by people such as Jim Steinberg, who I don't think is as good as Burns, and this could be the wrong direction for Hillary Clinton to take. But that remains to be seen.
Yeah. Mel Goodman with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, Mel, you referenced Hillary's pick in terms of budget oversight. This is another critical skill set and knowledge base that Leon Panetta brings. And the CIA's budget is nearly doubled. There's very little accountability. The widespread use of contractors, many believe to be no bid, but because much of that's black, we don't know. But we know, at least in broad numbers, that there's been a huge increase, and we don't see the kind of oversight and accountability that we would expect even in a secretive agency like the CIA.
Well, you're spot on in that, but Leon Panetta is probably one of the few people in the country, in view of his role as head of the Office of Management and Budget, who knows something about the secret budget, about the black programs, about the CIA budget. And I respect his sophistication and his judgment, and I think for the first time in a long time, the CIA is going to get genuine adult supervision, and I think that's what he represents as far as I'm concerned. They certainly didn't get that under Casey or Deutsch or Woolsey or Gates or Porter Goss or George Tenet, for that matter. So this is the first leader since 1981, when you think of the appointment of Casey by Ronald Reagan in 1981, making a political operative and an ideologue and a zealot as a CIA director was just the beginning of the train wreck that Reagan was responsible for in foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is just an extremely good appointment. And after some initial mumbling by people like Dianne Feinstein, who I think was showing personal pique because she hadn't been called in advance, didn't get a chance to know this before it ended up in the New York Times,
right,
she has already come on board. And I think Democrats and Republicans are going to see this as a very good appointment. The only people lobbying it against it now are some clandestine operatives. And there was some unfortunate articles that appeared in the Washington Post where they bought on to the clandestine line that Panetta doesn't have the intelligence background, which is nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole notion that it takes an insider to run the CIA, I think, is just a ludicrous notion. Insiders are responsible for the intelligence failures with regard to the Soviet Union. That was Bill Casey and Bob Gates.
Yep.
The failures with regard to 9/11, the strategic failure of no warning for 9/11, the failures of manipulating and corrupting and even fabricating the intelligence on Iraqi weapons of mass destruction, which were in the hands of such insiders as George Tenet and John McLaughlin. You know, I think we've seen enough insiders at the CIA. And finally, on that point, people give too much of a mystique to the whole notion of intelligence. Intelligence is just information. There's no specific skill set that will make you good in the intelligence business other than good judgment.
Mel,
your judgment.
Wait, isn't that some kind of a major sin that you've just committed?
Probably, 24 years there, I'm giving away the whole house of cards.
You want to demystify the spook business?
Yeah, right. It's not going to be easy to do. I've been trying to do that with my writing, actually, for the last 10 years.
Mel Goodman, I also want to just credit our mutual friend, you've known him much longer than I, Ray McGovern. He's penned a great piece that's up at consortiumnews.com right now. And he went on the News Hour opposite Michael Scheuer, who's a bit of a loose cannon.
The Mad Hatter.
He's the most polite Mad Hatter I've ever met. Always calls me Mr. Collins. And
you're always sir.
I reserve that for the arresting officer and the sentencing judge. But in any event, it was an interesting contrast because Scheuer, and I'd like your observation on to what extent his views reflect those inside the agency and in the clandestine units in particular. But it was very interesting on the News Hour to see him resisting the Panetta appointment, really singing the Feinstein line that Steve Kappas or somebody else who is really part of the problems of the last 8 years should have been promoted. And so I thought that was very interesting, and Ray did a great job of offering the very sensible perspective that he has.
Yeah, I missed that. I was at a nice hockey game that night, but I know Ray. I know him well, and I know he would do a good job. And frankly, Mike Scheuer is such a loose cannon, and he doesn't really reflect the clandestine services because he was not in the Directorate of Operations. He was pulled out of the Intelligence Directorate to be brought in to work on terrorism. And I think when they realized what a loose cannon he was, they basically took him out of the job he was in. And he sat in the CIA library for about 5 years until he finally resigned. I consider Michael Scheuer an extremely dangerous individual because he's someone who supports renditions. He lobbied for renditions.
Mm-hmm.
He supports torture and abuse. He supported the secret prisons. This is exactly what the CIA doesn't need. We've got to get back to the values of the United States, the moral principles of the United States, and the CIA is not going to be able to restore the moral compass with people such as Michael Scheuer. But fortunately, he's not with the CIA any longer, and that's a good indication of its own.
Now, tell me about Dennis Blair. He is a retired admiral who had the command of the Pacific Fleet for a few years, and he does have some flags in his jacket, as we would say, about a prison record. He was the commander when problems developed in East Timor, and the U.S. is accused of siding with the draconian regime there, the government in Indonesia, who cracked down on the Timorese. And in addition, there are some questions about some of the military corporate boards that he has served on since he retired, and what appear to be conflicts of interest.
Right. You say flags in his jacket. I guess maybe this is not right for a naval officer, but I would say he's got mud on his boots. I think the Indonesian experience will come up in confirmation hearings, and that put mud on his boots. And also, when he was head of the Institute for Defense Analysis, he had to leave very suddenly because of serious conflict of interest charges, where he showed very poor judgment. But that's not my problem with Dennis Blair. My problem with Dennis Blair is really twofold. One, there is another case of Obama going back to the military after he said he would demilitarize the intelligence community. He's putting a retired naval admiral in at the National Intelligence Center to replace the current retired naval admiral who's there right now. And the other thing about Dennis Blair that I find not impressive, he doesn't have a background really in strategic matters or strategic intelligence. His major claim to fame is on issues involving counterterrorism, which I consider a very narrow perspective when you look at the broad strategic interests and perspectives of the United States and the need for the really big picture that I think the intelligence community has to be painting for decision makers in the United States. So I'm not sure if this is such a good appointment, but I'll give Obama the benefit of the doubt and maybe go one step further and say maybe what he's doing is putting an extremely good strategic mind and a strong and savvy political operative in at the CIA, Leon Panetta. And then someone of average ability as the so-called intelligence czar because he wants to downplay that whole position of Director of National Intelligence.
And you have been a sharp critic since it was even proposed.
Yes, I thought it was a bad idea from the start. It just added another layer of bureaucratic and sclerotic activity on the world of intelligence. It brought intelligence analysis closer to the White House because there's such a strong connection between the intelligence czar and the National Security Council and the White House, so they lost some of their independence. It's a huge bureaucratic enterprise with dozens of associate directors and deputy assistant directors and assistant directors. It's just a model of bureaucratic backwardness, I I think. And it doesn't do the one thing it was supposed to do, which is to try to coordinate the activities of all the intelligence agencies, because they have no control really over the military, no control of the budget, over appropriations, over assignment of personnel. So the Pentagon really still has that very strong hand. But Leon Panetta, I can't imagine him reporting to someone such as Dennis Blair. I mean, Leon Panetta is much too good for that, and I expect Leon Panetta also to stand up to people such as Robert Gates at Defense and Hillary Clinton when times call for it in terms of getting good intelligence views in front of decision makers. I think he's that strong, and I think of another outsider, if you want to call Leon Panetta that, even though he's a rather peculiar outsider given the long career he's had as a public servant, I think of John McCone. Another California native who stood up to John Kennedy, and when Kennedy didn't take his intelligence and take his advice and give him any credibility in the White House, McCone resigned and went back to California. And I think the CIA director has to have that kind of independence and that kind of stature and that kind of integrity. If he's not going to be considered as part of the national security team and not the individual that the president will go to for intelligence material, not policy advice, but intelligence support, then perhaps that individual should move on and certainly not do what George Tenet did, which is to say, slam dunk, Mr. President, I can give you anything you need.
Yeah, he ought to return that Medal of Freedom. We're going to take a break and return with Mel Goodman. Pick up his book and send a copy to Leon Panetta. It's called Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA. We'll continue in a moment. Your calls and comments welcome at 888-5-PETER-B, The Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's
818-4033. Time to paint your house and protect your investment. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
What would life be without flowers? It would be like a birthday cake with no candles, a wedding with no ring. It would be like a graduation without friends and relatives, a promotion without a raise. Thankfully, life is full of flowers and reasons to give them. In fact, sometimes the best reason is no reason at all. And all you have to do is stop by or call Ferrari Florists and Gifts. You see, flowers from Ferrari Florists and Gifts are more personal and special because whatever you're celebrating, we can create unique arrangements from a wide selection of fresh-cut flowers, and we can deliver them the same day. So you can enjoy life and even declare your love with flowers. Call Ferrari Florists and Gifts today at 460-7000 or visit our website at www.ferrariflorist.com, and we'll help you realize the true potential of flowers. Ferrari Florists and Gifts, 514 Front Street, Santa Cruz, experts in the art of expression.
Mel Goodman's my guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Over 40 years in service to our government, State Department, CIA, and Defense Department. The author in 2008 of Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA. And can we assist you in getting a copy to Mr. Panetta?
Yes, if you can do that, I'll even autograph it.
Okay.
That's the least I can do.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Mel. If after the show, we'll email you, and you can send me an autographed book. And the gentleman who's coming on next hour, Scott Dick, is our regular contributor. He's a retired Army major. He contributes on military and veterans issues every week. And he lives in Carmel Valley, just down the road from the Panetta Institute. So I will deputize Scott and ask him to deliver the book for you.
Great. And I'll talk to my publicist at Robin and Littlefield and see what we can do.
Okay, good. Now, one other pick that I wanted to ask you about, the name John Brennan has resurfaced. Now, he was discussed, or at least there were rumors, that he was under consideration for the CIA director post. He's been a number two over there at CIA. And the new discussion is that he may be put in charge of a post that doesn't require Senate confirmation, overseeing domestic counterterrorism efforts.
Well, I was glad to see John Brennan step aside as the CIA director, because he clearly was going to be nominated, and he was the only one on Obama's list for some strange reason. He was the executive secretary to George Tenet. He was part of the decision-making and part of the cheerleading for torture and abuse and renditions. He tried to deny that, but the fact is he was quoted on various talk shows, including Lair's NewsHour, defending torture and abuse and renditions, and he didn't belong at the CIA. I'm not as upset to see him at the White House on the counterterrorism beat, because he won't have the kind of control over analysis that he did at the CIA when he did nothing about the politicization of analysis leading up to the war in Iraq.
And let me just put you on the spot for a hypothetical comparison. Richard Clark, I think, distinguished himself, at least after he left the administration, in, first of all, apologizing for failures, and secondly, exposing those that he could that were not classified. What would you think about bringing Richard Clark back for the counterterrorism job? He was the guy who had his hair on fire.
Well, the problem with Richard Clark is probably a personal one. And given the Obama team's interest in, team management and putting together teams that can work together, Richard Clark is a very difficult individual. And he may have been out in front of the community on the terror threat, and certainly was far out in front of the CIA and wisely put pressure on the CIA to throw more resources at the problem. But he is a very difficult actor to get along with. And I can't imagine he would be back in the government. There are others like Richard Holbrooke who has that problem. Paul Mitzi in the past, when you go back to earlier administrations, had very sharp elbows. And
yeah.
That's why he never got the cabinet positions he should have had. So there is a personal dimension. And one thing about Obama in terms of Lincoln-esque malice toward none and charity toward all, I think he's trying to build up strong teams. And even though I haven't been a big fan of the appointments of Dennis Blair to the Czar's position for the intelligence community or retired Marine General James Jones at the NSC, these are known to be good team players who put together good teams to work on key substantive issues. And I think that's what Obama's looking for, to get away from the policy of controversy and the policies of invective that we saw during the Bush administration and do some real bridge building in the government, which sorely needs to be done. And that's where I think Obama is going to make an important contribution.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be interesting to see. Ray, Mel, I'm sorry, about a minute remaining. I wanted to get your thoughts, too, on the appointment of Don Johnson to be the director of the Office of Legal Counsel. This is the office where Jay Bybee and John Yoo originated these tortured memos about torture and detention and other policies that really attempted to redefine terms and rewrite the law in flagrant violation and contradiction of our Constitution. She's been outspoken in criticizing those bad legal documents and theories. Do you think this sets a good tone for this incoming administration?
Oh, though I think it's exactly the right tone. And I guess what really impresses me about Obama's start is that he made it clear as a lawyer and someone who taught constitutional law that what was happening at the Justice Department in terms of politicizing the work of the Justice Department had to be reversed. And these steps are indicative of the fact that he's going to do just that, which is really why those of us who supported Obama did so, because it's part of the several thousand appointments that he will make that will change the whole nature of government and find a government apparatus that will do work for the American people and not politicize regulatory agencies or, and most importantly, the Department of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think of the damage that was done because of the memos that were written very poorly argued and very poorly sourced by the people you mentioned, Jay Bybee, John Yoo, Gonzalez himself when he was in the White House before he became Attorney General. This all of this needs to be reversed.
Yeah.
I think it will be very early on.
Mel Goodman, thank you very much. Failure of Intelligence
thank
is the
you,
book.
Peter
we'll
B.
talk again soon.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the Internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the Internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your Internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The president-elect says there's no time to lose.
It is time to set a new course for this economy, and that change must begin now.
A vote to impeach Rod Blagojevich.
On a vote of 21 voting yes, none voting no, none voting present, the motion is adopted.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Maybe we have only one president at a time for foreign policy, but Barack Obama didn't want to wait till January 20th to make a big push for his top domestic priority, fixing the economy. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports on today's speech at George Mason University.
President-elect Obama warns of a dire and lasting impact if Congress fails to move on his plan to spend billions of dollars to bolster the troubled economy.
If nothing is done, this recession could linger for years. The unemployment rate could reach double digits.
Mr. Obama said he's ready for an open debate on his plan for tax breaks and spending on job-creating projects, but he challenged Congress to move quickly on his proposals. Notching up the urgency of the crisis, he said failure to act could trigger even worse jobs and income deficits. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Washington.
Republican lawmakers are on board with Obama's tax cut plan, but some of his fellow Democrats are skeptical. Senator Kent Conrad of North Dakota calls the $3,000 business tax credit for hiring new workers misdirected.
The better use of the money is in investment, things that are going to be spent that are going to improve the economic efficiency of our society.
Massachusetts Senator John Kerry says he'd rather spend the money on infrastructure. Now this.
Marcia, what's with the grin?
I got great news at my savings checkup.
Your what?
The savings checkup I took at the Sam's Club Pharmacy. I found amazing prices on my monthly prescriptions, and I discovered that members saved as much as 28% last year on select over-the-counter medications. Plus, Sam's Club takes most insurance, and pharmacy staff are available for questions.
Wow, I've got to check that out. Discover your prescription for terrific value. Visit your Sam's Club Pharmacy Friday and Saturday to take the savings checkup. For more information, go to samsclub.com/yourhealth.
Two drivers, two very different stories heading home on a dark evening.
I hit the open road.
A deer popped out of nowhere. I panicked.
I saw a deer in the road. I slowed down.
I jerked the wheel. I wish I could have seen it.
I drove around it and was home before the next song on the radio.
With Silver Star headlights from Sylvania, you'll see more of the road ahead. Remember, headlights dim over time. Replace them before you are left in the dark. Visit your automotive retailer and choose the whitest, brightest light. Silver Star headlights from Sylvania.
Just minutes ago, a special committee of the Illinois House voted unanimously to recommend that Governor Rod Blagojevich be impeached. The full House is expected to vote tomorrow. Blagojevich is accused of trying to sell Barack Obama's Senate seat. Earlier, before the same panel, Roland Burris insisted he'd done nothing to win the governor's support.
I can, before this committee, state that there was nothing legal, personal, or political exchanged for my appointment to this seat.
He has yet to be accepted by Senate leaders. A new effort to put the brakes on home foreclosures. Senator Dick Durbin says he and Senators Chris Dodd and Chuck Schumer have reached a deal with Citigroup on a plan that would allow bankruptcy judges to change the terms of home loans.
The notion here is to create the environment for negotiation so that those who are holding the mortgages will not wait until bankruptcy, that they'll sit down ahead of time
and modify loans to make them more affordable. We're borrowing less these days. Analyst Ron Shevlin of the IT Group says consumer debt in November declined at an annual rate of $8 billion.
We're really seeing a combination of the downturn in the economy and just a smarter budgeting, smarter approach to expense management on the part of consumers.
Not even the Teamsters are immune from today's economic pressures. YRC Worldwide, a major trucking operation, says its union workers have voted overwhelmingly to take a 10% pay cut in exchange for a 15% stake in the company. Things went from bad to worse in Gaza today when a Red Cross relief convoy came under Israeli fire. That prompted the UN to suspend aid shipments, which only began yesterday. Progress is being made on the diplomatic front. CBS News foreign affairs analyst Pamela Falk says the Western powers and key Arab nations are close to an agreement.
The two sides at the UN are coming together on the Gaza negotiations, giving some hope for passage of a Security Council resolution on the framework for a ceasefire, for an opening of border crossings, and for an anti-smuggling provision.
This week's flooding in the Pacific Northwest is the worst Washington state has ever seen. People find themselves slogging through knee-high water, and in some places it's higher than that. Tens of thousands have been forced from their homes. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
In a world where brilliant tech professionals are forced to deal with mindless coworkers,
should this be plugged in?
Incompetent bosses.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to come in on Saturday.
And job sites that don't know tech from dreck.
I said I'm a Java developer. That's got nothing to do with coffee.
There's only one hope for salvation. Dice.com. Dice is the number one technology job board. For over 17 years, Dice has focused exclusively on tech jobs, meaning you won't waste time sifting through the garbage you'll find on other job sites. Go to Dice.com to find thousands of jobs all across the country. Software engineers, DBAs, project managers, systems administrators, web developers, and more. Visit Dice.com today. Dice.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Next hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, we'll get a voice for peace from a Jewish perspective. Rabbi Michael Lerner of the Tikkun Movement and also the chair of the Network of Spiritual Progressives will join us and talk about the conflict in Gaza. This hour, it's our first visit of the year, but our first weekly visit with Scott Dick. He served in the Marine Corps, retired from the Army at the rank of Major.
Got on a plane in Frisco and got off in Vietnam. Walked in. And 15 days, the last ones were the
you have a question or comment about military veterans issues, this is the hour for you. You can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Scott Dick, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. Did you hear that I volunteered you for a delivery job?
No.
Well, Mel Goodman was on just before you, and he served at the CIA. He's written a book called Failure of Intelligence, and we thought it's something that Leon Panetta should have a copy of. So Mel's going to send me an autographed copy, and I'm going to send it to you, and I'm wondering if you'd drop it off at the Panetta Institute down the road from you.
Oh, I'd be happy to do that.
All right. Well, thank you. It'll probably take a week or two, but I appreciate, since I volunteered you, that you're willing to volunteer.
Unlike my wife, Peter.
Well, Scott, on a more somber note, I want to get your thoughts about the conflict in Gaza. And the recent history is that a ceasefire expired and there was wrangling over it and fingers have been pointed. And Hamas did allow rockets to be fired, and that infuriated the Israelis. There's a political backstory that Israel's in transition with the discredited Olmert government on its last legs. And we have three different characters vying to replace Olmert, including Defense Minister Ehud Barak, who's not a stranger to Americans. Also, Benjamin Netanyahu is in the mix. And Foreign Minister Zippy Livni, a female, in case you're not familiar with her.
Yeah.
And so it is a complex situation with these layers of politics and international intrigue. But what's your sense of what's going on there and how to end it?
Well, that's, I've never been quite, but first of all, it's a tough one. And I can say that any criticism of Israeli tactics in Gaza automatically means you're either anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish or anti-Israel. So given all that, anybody who dares to question the tactics that the Israelis are employing in Gaza are automatically Israel haters, Jew haters, etc. I mean, I've seen all of it. Nobody wants to address that I've seen, except for a few Arab lovers, and I hope everybody understands this is sarcasm, because some of my listeners don't always get it, that this is disproportionate. I have been trained and have trained soldiers on the law of land warfare and as it's conducted by the United States according to international law, and this is definitely a disproportionate response to rocket attacks. And it, what showed it most clearly for me last week was a picture of a car in Israel with its back window blown out by one of these missiles, and then they just, and this is American media, which is very...
one-sided.
Okay. I was looking for a little, you know, less inflammatory word, but it's true. They flipped over to an entire city block of in Gaza that was completely rubbled, like it was World War II. So they had inadvertently pointed out how disproportionate the response was, and the fact that it's tragedy. Four Israelis have been killed, no doubt. But when you add up the 400 Palestinians, most of them women and children.
Well, I let me just amend your comment there, because the death toll in Gaza of Palestinians is currently at 770. There are 3,200 injured. And it is. I have a daily dispatch that I get from a journalist who is inside Gaza. As you know, outside media have not been permitted in by the Israeli Defense Forces. And Sammy Habib is a gentleman who sends me a dispatch once a day. And so this is his latest count, 770 dead, 3,200 injured, and without breaking them down explicitly, he says most of them are civilians.
Right, and let's say that because the next claim that Israel is going to make is that it's propaganda. Okay, let's just strip off 25%, and we get back down to that 400 or 500 number, which is, it's amazingly disproportionate. And of course, the Bush administration has said, well, when Hamas starts firing rockets, then Israel. And I sit back as a soldier, somebody who is fairly well versed in the law of land warfare, and my answer is what? And that's all I can come up with. We have given, the Bush administration has given the green light to do this. It is, I don't know, reward for their help in Bush's fantasy war on international terror. Or we learned everything we learned in Abu Ghraib and Gitmo from the Israelis and their treatment of terrorists. And I use air quotes around that. So it's, one sure thing will come out of this, Peter. An entire new generation of jihadists are being born today because of the strikes in Gaza.
Yeah, I agree with that point.
There will be no middle ground. It'll be a continuation of suicide. And perhaps, maybe that's what the Israelis are looking for, to live in a constantly besieged state with all of the perquisites of being victims. I don't know. I
have a hard time believing that, but I can't dismiss the notion. I don't think it's a conscious desire, but it does seem at times, you know, like that is a thread there. Now, Scott, I want to ask you about, a very difficult situation militarily and, you know, what your sense of it is, what your training would lead you to do. So let's stipulate for a moment here that Israel is fully justified in entering Gaza to root out the elements that cause these rocket attacks on Israel, and it's important to note the attacks haven't had much impact, but still, the rockets are flying, the fear is present, and so that level of provocation does exist. But, you know, Hamas is not a regular military organization. They do not have well-defined locations of barracks and bases and, you know, a nice little fence around so that Israel could come in, target military facilities and depots, and strategically and surgically remove the irritants that they see, the military aspects of Hamas. And so I acknowledge that Hamas operates from apartment buildings, from mosques, from schools, from hospitals. They will go wherever they can to ferret away weapons, to secrete their soldiers, and fighters, I guess is the better term to use. And so it creates this situation where when Israel comes in and unleashes this incredible military violence, that it's inevitable that it will strike civilians. And in my view, that makes it untenable. It makes it unconscionable. Yet Israel seems able to rationalize this and say, well, nothing else matters. Israeli citizens have been threatened. Therefore, we will do whatever it takes, including annihilating women, children, and old men, to root out this problem.
But, Peter, they're not doing whatever it takes. They're doing far from that. Where's the vaunted Mossad in all this? Where's that beautifully effective military intelligence arm of that are supposed to be the most brilliant intel agents in the world, who can, you know, morph themselves into Russian spies and Chinese agents and Americans and businessmen, et cetera, et cetera? Where are they in eliminating the Hamas militant threat? Hamas is a political organization. And I'm not, you know, an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but in order to fight this kind of fire with fire, this is a one-on-one. They need to make the leaders of Hamas renounce violence. And by not targeting the head of the snake, then all they're doing is chopping up bits and pieces of a part that will grow. It's a Medusa. For every one that they chop, seven more terrorists grow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I can't help but think that they're not interested in addressing the issues that create terrorism from Gaza into Israel. They're interested, it seems like, only in retribution and revenge. And so there is no strategy, from what I can see. This is not even a tactical mission. This is like shooting a mouse with a shotgun or a howitzer.
Yeah. Well, and in roughly 100-to-1 ratios, it is very hard to justify this overpowering response by Israel. I've got a caller on the line, but we're up against a break. Richard, stay with us. I want to get your point of view on the air. Other people can call in, too. Lines available. Boston, you're welcome to join us. We'd like to hear your comments. 888-5-PETER-B. And if you're pro-Israel and you want to argue with us, I want you to come forward. This is an open forum, and you are very welcome to express yourself.
Hey, Peter,
you are with me or not. Go ahead, Scott.
I'm pro-Israel, too. I don't want to even get into this distinction if they're pro-Israel, anti-Israel. I'm not anti-Israel. I'm anti just killing civilians for no necessary reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I understand. I'm using shorthand, and
thank you.
You're welcome to correct me. We'll take a break and return. You know my number, 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-38-573-8372. Your phone's broken? Email me, peter@peterbcollins.com or fullofit@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Can choice be saved? On Thursday, January 22nd, please join Planned Parenthood Mar Monti in commemorating the 36th anniversary of the landmark Roe v. Wade decision. Join us for our annual luncheon, Can Obama Save Choice? Attorney Mickey Welsh will address these questions and more. The event will be held at the Hyatt Regency in Monterey on January 22nd from 11:15 to 1:15. Tickets are $25 for students and $35 for general public. For more information and to RSVP, please call Christina at 784-1109, extension 103. That's 784-1109, extension 103.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
You love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in King City, we have a traffic hazard on County Road G15 at County Road G16. There are loose cattle in the road. And in Santa Cruz on the southbound one at State Park Drive, there is a piece of scaffolding in the slow lane, so watch out there. Taking a look at Hollister Gilroy on Fairview Road at Santa Ana Road, we have a traffic collision with an ambulance responding. There's also a traffic hazard on the southbound 101 just south of Monterey Road. In weather, today is mostly clear. We've got highs in the upper 50s with lows in the 40s. Currently, it's 56 and fair in Monterey, Salinas is 59 and sunny, and Santa Cruz is 56 and partly cloudy. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have an awesome afternoon. The Peter B. Cullen Show will be right back.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, our weekly hour on military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. And you're welcome to call in toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And later this hour, Scott is promising a Palin moment that we should find very amusing. What he hasn't revealed is whether this is about Michael Palin from Monty Python or that other Palin with the gotcha, no blinking, and fancy glasses.
Winkety wink wink.
So you must stay tuned to find out where that takes us, and that'll be coming up a little bit later this hour. And Richard was on the line and dropped, and I think he's back now, so let's talk to Richard in Northern California. Hi, Richard, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you, Peter?
Doing okay.
Happy New Year's to you.
Thank you.
Hey, Let's make it clear. My last name is Curland, so I'm pretty much a member of the tribe. That doesn't make me, a bow-down pro-Israeli.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that bothers me in this discussion is, and I was trying to look it up while we were waiting here, how many rockets Hamas shot into Israel over the last year. And it's kind of, it feels a little bit like that Hamas is being... because of their incompetence, meaning that they're not hitting homes or daycare centers or apartment buildings with their rockets, what they're hitting is streets and cars like that,
mm-hmm.
Well, then it's okay. But I think it's over a couple hundred rockets that they have shelled into Israel over the last year. I'm not sure the number. I tried to look it up.
It's in the hundreds.
In the hundreds. And if every one of those rockets killed two people or three people, it would be a different number.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just ignore that the fact that they're shelling in rockets. Now, besides that, Israel is going way overboard. I'm not arguing that point.
Right. Richard.
Incompetence of Hamas.
Richard, neither. Do I countenance, hurling rockets into civilian targets, okay? And so I don't support that effort by Hamas. What I do understand is that the occupation is so intense and really creates a huge prison compound there in Gaza. And I put myself in their position. What would I do if I were living under the boot of some power that I did not, respect or observe? And I would use every means available to me, whether it's a Molotov cocktail or a little pea shooter or rocks, and whatever I had available, I would use to resist. And so we cannot separate the reaction of Palestinians, whether they're part of Hamas or not, from the Israeli occupation. They are linked inextricably.
No, I certainly don't agree with that. I don't disagree with that. I have come a long way from a total blind pro-Israeli view through my upbringing in Denmark, and my grandparents were a member of the freedom fighters in Denmark, bringing Jews to Sweden and that kind of stuff. And I've come from a long way, and I totally agree with you. There is nothing I wouldn't do if I lived the way that the Palestinians are doing. But
when
numbers kind of society, and the number of deaths matter, and when the press report and when you guys are talking about it, it's like, oh, well, they're just lobbing these innocent basketballs into Israel, and they're showing pictures on the news, and it's a back window of a car or a hole in the street. And, yes, my first reaction is, are you kidding me? They killed 700 people for this? But, really, that's just incompetence.
All right, let me give Scott an opportunity to comment. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, Richard, when we boil this all down, the people that are going to be continue to be hurt is Israel. This is not in Israel's best interest. Hamas is absolutely incompetent, or they would seek out a different way than just launching basically big fireworks that kill innocent people themselves. So it's no justification for Hamas. There's no justification for Israel. And, in fact, the long term, Israel has all the power in this situation, and what they are doing is creating another generation of people who just want to kill Israelis. Instead of addressing the issue, instead of having some kind of constraint and some kind of compassion, they've hardened themselves so far to be unrecognizable as compassionate Israel that I was raised to believe existed. So I don't get it. They're hurting themselves. They're hurting themselves more in the long run than Hamas will ever do if Hamas is totally annihilated. It's a political organization, and it is hurting the average Israeli because they will be not the power elites, because they have protection, not the military, because they protect themselves. But it hurts the average Israeli, I think, more than it does the average Palestinian, and it will in a long time, and it will haunt them for another generation.
And I totally agree with you. Israel was formed in 1954, right?
Well, it started in 48.
48, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm of the belief that America should not give a dime in support to the state of Israel until Israel moves in behind their UN-sanctioned borders that they got because of, we mm-hmm. felt so bad of what happened in Europe. And let me say again, my last name is Curlin. So we know the history of why Israel was established, and I am at the point, at least, that I that I believe that that's, we can't change that. And I totally agree with you on the fact that Israel is hurting themselves and what they're doing. And the more I read, I'm blown away by that.
Hey, Richard,
what I was objecting to was kind of that, the laissez-faire is wrong word, but mm-hmm. but just that total, well, you
yeah,
know, they're
dropping
basketballs in there or fireworks or whatever.
Okay, Richard,
really
hold.
What has happened as of yet is
hold,
nothing.
Hold on.
I mean, that could have been a day
okay, Richard,
for school.
Go ahead, Scott. 30 seconds.
Just let me point out that I was I have to monitor the Fox network, and the other day there were commercials on there that were, if I didn't know my news better, I would have thought they were, it was World War III going on in Israel, and it's by Israel's Israeli support group, and it showed children being carried and dead children and women and children being wounded and killed, and I don't know where they got that video from.
All right, we got to take a break, gentlemen. Richard, hold on. I think you have more to say, and we'll listen to you after the break. I'm Peter B. Collins with Scott Dick. We'll continue.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Don't pat me, bro. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Daniel Sheehan is a San Francisco 49ers fan. And in 2005, he was told to submit to a pat-down search at the gate. And not just him, his five-year-old grandson was told to spread his arms, and he got patted down, too. And then it hit him. This was wrong. We're living in the United States of America. This is invading my right to privacy. And so he sued. And now it's gone to the California Supreme Court.
Having to stand with your arms outstretched while some stranger runs his hands all over your body is a very intrusive act.
That's Ann Brick, one of his lawyers. Well, lots of luck. Yes, this is America, but privacy is no longer part of the deal. Search at a football game? My fellow searchees, we are not just patted down at football games. We are scanned, X-rayed, unshod, debelted, sniffed, eavesdropped on, satellite tracked, seat belted, Bluetooth, webcammed, passworded, Googled, everywhere we go. Privacy? In the age of Facebook? In the age of Twitter, when somebody eating a pork chop can trigger an alert? I expect in a few years that last night's dreams will be online. Sheehan thinks that the pat-downs have nothing to do with terrorism, but with people bringing in outside beer. Well, maybe so, but that's because it's unauthorized outside beer. You need a concealed beer permit for that. And as the NFL lawyer says, if you don't like it, tough.
If you think that security's too much for you, you can stay home.
Yeah, stay home and freshen your Twitter updates. Now this.
Whether you run a small business or a big enterprise, you face similar IT challenges every day, including network security, user productivity, network and application performance, and data storage and email retrieval. That's why over 70,000 businesses like yours count on Barracuda Networks to solve these challenges.
Right out of the box, without IT expertise, at a price that any business can afford.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for a free 30-day trial of any of our security, productivity, or storage appliances.
That's 888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or see for yourself at Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Want to meet a health care provider that will give you the time to talk about your health issues and actually listen to you? Are you looking for an alternative to the pill-popping culture created by the megaceutical companies? Do you have chronic pain, headaches, depression, allergies, or any other unresolved health concerns? Give Optimal Health a try. Hi, I'm Glenn Sadowski, licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey at 655-3208. I'll be at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore in downtown Carmel on the second and fourth Sundays of each month. Reserve your space for an absolutely free 20-minute health evaluation, a wonderful opportunity to make an informed decision on your well-being. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture at 655-3208 today. Times are limited. Optimal Health, where you receive good medicine with great results. Our number again is 655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pa prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. Stores. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Scott Dick with us this hour, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. Lines are open if you want to join the conversation. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. We'll talk more about Israel and Gaza with Rabbi Michael Lerner next hour.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not to fly. So I stuffed my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine, upstanding young man.
That's from way back in the long-haired hippy-dippy days, the five-man electrical band. I haven't heard that one in a while. We continue with Scott Dick, and Richard's still on the line because I felt he had more to say, and we don't like to cut people off. Richard, I apologize. These breaks sometimes come on like a freight train, and I can't stop them. But I just wanted to make sure that you felt heard, and did you have anything else you wanted to add? Well, I guess Richard moved on. Sorry about that.
Peter, I guess that answers your question.
I wanted to give him that opportunity, and there it is. Wayne and Ben Lomond, you're next here on the PBC show.
Sir, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
You know, I couldn't agree more that this is the worst thing Israel could do in its own for its own benefit. I understand probably why they felt compelled to do it. I mean, if you think, you know, they have to respond, their government, and they have to respond to their people. And if the United States was getting even one or two rockets from Mexico or Canada a year with very little damage, there would be such a public outcry that the government would have to do something.
Well, Wayne, on that note, let me invite you to go to the New York Times website or pick up the paper today, because they have a very interesting article about Ehud Barak, who is now the defense minister. And he's an interesting guy. He's a former soldier himself. He's done commando raids in disguise, one time as a woman. And it's interesting because there was a whole drumbeat in the Labor Party that he leads. This is reported by the Times today. Back about 6 weeks ago when this ceasefire was about to expire. And he was being described as out of touch and, you know, not really understanding the mood of his people. And it's described in this article that he threw a fit at a meeting where people confronted him and said, you're looking soft on the Palestinians. And he described the bloodshed that he has witnessed over the years as an Israeli soldier. And in an impassioned plea, he said that there's nobody here who can tell me, you know, about the threats to Israel and what the appropriate response is. And I consider Barak and Netanyahu to be real hawks, people who will use, you know, the political apparatus as a way, a pretext, or a rationale for launching military action. So I think that this description of his desire for restraint is very interesting against the backdrop of Olmert fading and these elections that will take place probably in February.
Well, it would have been nice if there was a lot more voices like his to have been heard in Israel. You know, if you look at the consequences, and this happens every time Israel has one of these major offensive, defensive moves, in that innocent people start dying by the hundreds, public opinion turns against Israel, and Hamas and the other terrorist groups actually get support. Israel would be far better served if they just perhaps really invested in some public relations. And when these rockets came in to Israel, whether they caused a lot of damage or not, if they had to buy airtime to show the world what was happening, then when these, when they do finally have to confront and say, look, you have to do something or we will do it, then it kind of puts the onus up to other countries to stop attacks before Israel can even start them.
Well, that's an interesting point. Scott?
Well, he's describing an intelligent strategy that includes some really good tactics as well. The strategy to change the entire information environment away from sympathy for Hamas to sympathy for Israel. They're not gaining any sympathy. The EU has gone against them. The United States, for the administration, has gone against them. There are demonstrations all over the world. The Palestinians are seen as the aggrieved population, and they're the ones who started it. And that's my whole point. That was my point before. They could kill as many Palestinians. Unless they kill them all, this won't work.
Yeah. And see, I come back, Wayne, to the fundamentals of the occupation, of the settlements that Israel's building on Palestinian territory, of that gruesome wall that they're building that does not follow the border line and in many, many places represents an additional land grab by Israel. And then you look at the, just since 2006, when Hamas won the election that the U.S. and Israel forced them to proceed with, despite the calls from Abu Abbas, Abu Mazen, as he's sometimes called, the leader of Fatah, that he was going to lose. And so, you know, we have to look at the joint responsibility of the United States and the State of Israel in creating the conditions. And once again, I want to stress that I do not counsel or condone the acts by Hamas against Israeli civilians. But we have to put it in proper context that even if it is hundreds of rockets that have been fired, very few Israeli casualties, injured, or deaths have occurred. And we have to put it in that kind of perspective. And we are at the ratio of 100 to 1 in terms of the number of Palestinian lives that are being snuffed out related to Israelis who are dying in this conflict. And that is disproportionate, and it is going to be remembered long and loud on the so-called Arab street.
Oh, I agree. And when they see the pictures of innocent women and children that are injured being carried off, they've just created 10 more terrorists for every one that they've eliminated.
Mm-hmm. All right, Wayne, well, thank you for your call today, and give my regards to Ben Lohman. I used to live up the road in Boulder Creek.
Oh, thank you.
All right, good to hear from you.
Take care.
We continue with Scott Dick here, and you're welcome to join the conversation before the end of the hour at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Well, Scott, the Pentagon has announced that after some deliberation, they are ruling out the awarding of Purple Heart medals to soldiers who have suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder from the recent conflicts. And I'm interested in your thought about this, because the argument is that the honor of a Purple Heart has been reserved for people who were physically wounded, and that post-traumatic distress, since it's not shrapnel in the groin or, you know, some other kind of physical injury, that somehow it's not as serious as the kind of pain and suffering that has been incurred by veterans who are awarded a Purple Heart for a physical injury.
Well, I don't think you have it quite right, Peter. I think that PTSD is the stepchild of battlefield, what did they call it, used to call it?
Battlefield fatigue?
Yeah, battle fatigue.
Uh-huh.
They used to call it battle fatigue, remember? And Patton actually slapped a soldier that had battle fatigue. And if that doesn't express the military's view of PTSD, I don't know what better poster child would. It's still considered to be a product of weakness. And remember, colonels and lieutenant colonels don't kick in doors, and generals don't kick in doors of people's homes. They very rarely ride in a fight. There are a few colonels that have done that in Iraq, but they are surrounded by people that are just to protect them. And I can guarantee you no 06 colonels, no full bird colonels are hosing out the remains of their best friends out of their vehicles. So it is a product, I think, of youth. And you have 18, 19, and 20, 21-year-olds, and they don't make the rules about what what is considered to be a battlefield injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think PTSD is a mental illness. I think it's a mental injury. It's a brain injury like TBI.
Mm-hmm.
So it's until the generation change where they see PTSD as they no longer see it as a weakness but as a real battlefield injury, then that's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take on it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I having not served, I don't feel I have a strong standing in this issue, but I'm very sympathetic to those who have suffered PTSD in this conflict and prior ones. And for me, it's hard to make that distinction. And so I will leave it there. Scott, I wanted to ask you what the latest is on Afghanistan. I was pleased earlier this week, Bob Herbert published an op-ed in the New York Times with some generous quotes from Andrew Basevich, who's been on our program. He's a professor at Boston University. And the two of them were raising the important questions that I've been ranting about on this program for months about putting more troops into Afghanistan, what it means, how much has been thought through, and to what extent we're simply repeating the error of the large-scale occupation of Iraq.
Well, the Obama administration has a real problem on their hands, and that is Afghanistan. And the, I mean, I know that sounds sort of redundant and trite, but Bush administration has had 8 years to get this under control, and they've left this administration and the nation with an absolute mess. And the goals that they have, and there's a new report released that says that the goals in Afghanistan for the U.S. are just unrealistic. The gist of it is they're going to have to completely reprioritize, if that's the word, away from combat operations to stabilization operations, and they have to plan for at least a decade. And in the meantime, try not to bankrupt the United States at the same time like the Russians did.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I hope that, you know, if it wasn't for the Supreme Court, I wanted John McCain to win so he could muddle through this and further destroy the Republican brand.
Well, I won't go there. I can't find a scenario where I could have voted for John McCain, Supreme Court or otherwise. At any rate, I think that we need to echo these voices and advance these concerns. Because I just think that Afghanistan is even a worse prospect for occupation than Iraq has been. There's no strong central government. There's no cohesive national vision or unity or culture. The Taliban remains very strong and I think will be a factor for many years to come. And like the problems of Israel trying to wipe out Hamas, trying to eradicate the Taliban would be excruciating and bloody and would, you know, invite a whole new generation of jihadists who will see the U.S. occupation as just an extension of what the Russians tried to do 22 years ago.
And, Peter, that was never part of the strategy. The strategy, the whole, let's take us a walk back in the past, in the history. Why did we go to Afghanistan?
We were responding to 9/11 and we wanted to wipe out Al-Qaeda.
We wanted to get Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get Osama bin Laden, our mission in Afghanistan is over. And until we get out, because we made deals with the Taliban. I'm tired of hearing the Bush administration. First they make pipeline deals with them, and the next thing they call them terrorists. They need to just take out, find, bring to justice Osama bin Laden, and then get out of Afghanistan. I don't know what they're trying to create. South Central L.A., I have no idea. And there is no national strategy. Suddenly, because the people that are attacking us are the Taliban, they become the strategic target. There is no strategic target in Afghanistan.
Well, and your reference to South Central is not perhaps as out of place as people might originally think, because it really is the warlords though there are not so different from the Crips, the Bloods, the Norteños, the Serenos. It is a situation where the authorities have control over some areas, but they don't have full control, and they're often at the mercy of these warlord groups, at least referring to Afghanistan.
Yeah, and then they go in, the authorities go in, and they do some really, I don't know what's happened with these trigger-happy cops all of a sudden. And they create so many more problems than I think they think they're going to solve by putting the bullet into the back of, you know, somebody in a wedding party, if you don't mind me mixing these two.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-boggling. It's unfathomable for me. I can't figure it out where suddenly it's like the whole nation and our whole system of values has been flushed down the Republican toilet.
We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. He has promised a Palin moment. Will it be Sarah or Michael from Monty Python? We'll find out as we continue right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in King City, we have a traffic hazard on County Road G15 at County Road G16. There are loose cattle in the road. And in Santa Cruz, on the southbound one at State Park Drive, there is a piece of scaffolding in the slow lane, so watch out there. Taking a look at Hollister Gilroy, on Fairview Road at Santa Ana Road, we have a traffic collision with an ambulance responding. There's also a traffic hazard on the southbound 101 just south of Monterey Road. In weather, today is mostly clear. We've got highs in the upper 50s with lows in the 40s. Currently, it's 56 and fair in Monterey. Salinas is 59 and sunny. And Santa Cruz is 56 and partly cloudy. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have an awesome afternoon. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire Cornucopia Landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
SunStreet Centers has an outpatient recovery program designed for men and women with alcohol or drug issues, referred by the court system, employer-referred, or self-referred. SunStreet also takes insurance. At SunStreet, you're provided with one-on-one and group sessions that focus on relapse prevention, parenting skills, anger management, and family issues, and introduces the 12-step program. You can choose either 2 or 3 days a week or evenings with sites in Salinas and Marina. Just go to sunstreetcenters.org to sign up. sunstreetcenters.org.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
If you're going to whip it good. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Scott Dick with us. And Scott is the host of the Scott Dick Show, which, Cal basketball permitting, occurs every evening right after the Peter B. Collins Show on our flagship radio station, KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. And Scott, what do you have planned for Thursday night?
Oh, Lots. I have, I do a lot of right-wing nuttery and, military and veterans affairs, not specifically, but what's going on in the world, international relations. And they can always stream my show from www.scottdickshow.com.
Cool.
In case they hear sports locally, and I do have listeners all around the country, so jump in there if you're so inclined to get 2 more hours of crazy me.
All right, and I want to welcome back our listeners in Seattle. We were off for a few weeks there due to some glitch in the system, but we're back on KPTK Saturday and Sunday nights, and it's great to have you with us in the Great Northwest, and do check out the Scott Dick Show. So, Scott, you promised us a Palin moment. Michael Palin, of course, one of the great funny men from Britain's Monty Python, and then there's the more recent Palin. Apparently she's still the governor of Alaska.
And she's just as funny, but I don't think intentionally.
Well, I've got a clip here, and this is amazing stuff, because I think we need actually a real-time translation of what she said or what she means to say. But here's a question put to her by a guy who's doing a documentary called Media Malpractice. He at least appears to be sympathetic to her charges that she's a victim of the so-called liberal media. And here is a question where he asks about her encounters with CBS anchor Katie Couric.
In regard to the Katie Couric interview in general, how did you feel about it when it finished? Did you feel as if it had gone well, not well?
No, I knew it didn't go well. I knew it didn't go well the first day, and then we gave her a couple of other segments after that. And my question to the campaign was, after it didn't go well the first day, why were we going to go back for more? And because of, however it works in you know, that upper echelon of power brokering in the media and with spokespersons, and it was told me that, yeah, we were going to go back for more. And going back for more was not a wise decision either. I never saw.
Wow. Did you get anything out of that?
No, and I know this resembles English, but I also speak German. I can pick out words in German and some in French and some in Spanish. And so it sounded much like that maybe Hebrew, Swahili, Russian, Chinese, or Korean.
Uh-huh.
But it looks remarkably like English. And I'm befuddled by this one long run-on sentence that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, and two, that she was ever seen by Republicans and still seen as a possible vice presidential candidate.
Yeah. Well, if she's got that executive experience, and she can see Russia.
And because of however it works in, you know, that upper echelon of power brokering in the media and with spokespersons and all, it was told me that, yeah, we were going to go back for more. Peter, I mean, after a couple of bottles of red wine, I don't talk like that.
Oh, Scott, it is breathtakingly pathetic.
It's amazing, and I want her to be the candidate for president of the Republicans in 2012. Because I, you know, sometimes I get down and depressed at the state of the world, and she always brings me back.
Well, if people want to find that, go to YouTube.com. And enter, like, Sarah Palin and media malpractice, and you'll probably find that. And all over the clip it says howobamagotelected.com, so maybe that's where you can find it, too.
Yeah, and Peter, part of that is, you know, she is not so – they're trying to influence the information environment. And I spent some time analyzing that when I was in Bosnia and how effective, for example, the Serbians could manipulate it. And here we have the neocons, and this is – part of the Republican strategy to whitewash the Bush legacy, and you have the neocons, the ones that were responsible for the attack on Iraq, a country that did us no harm, Pearl, is the latest one to come out and say, I had nothing to do with the war in Iraq, neocons had no influence in this administration, and he tells that lie with a completely straight face.
Well, and some of his colleagues are talking about the effectiveness of the Project for a New American Century and how they'll probably set up something like that during the out years here, at least the next 4, if not 8.
I don't know what brain damage, what place they were at that they gained such brain damage to think that the neocon Project for a New American Century has been effective at all, if it was to bankrupt the United States Treasury and to plunge the middle class into a great new depression and to have us mired in two hopelessly unwinnable conflicts. then they succeeded.
You're right. Yeah.
And if it was more than anything than that, they failed miserably. And what's more, they're pathologically incapable of admitting that maybe they might have made a mistake or two.
Oh, yeah. And Max Boot is unapologetic in a document published at Foreign Policy Magazine's website. He says, what we need to do is attack Iran and Pakistan and take out their nuclear facilities. That's an unrepentant neocon, if I've ever heard one.
And the brilliance of that strategy, and that is a strategy, we're talking about geopolitics here, is amazing that this guy actually is allowed to put a pen on a piece of paper and then be published by something as august as a foreign policy magazine.
Yeah, it is amazing. Well, Scott, thank you for your passion and your outrage, and you amuse me.
Not to think about that one, Peter, but it's always a pleasure.
All right, I'll talk to you next week. That's Scott Dick. There he goes, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Rabbi Michael Lerner is going to join me right after the top of the hour news, and he'll talk about trying to win a ceasefire in Gaza. He's got a petition he'd like you to sign, and we'll tell you about it coming up next. The Peter B. Collins Show is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Nick Tanham's taking your calls today, and you can email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. Do it and see what happens.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The vote is unanimous. An Illinois House panel has voted 21-0 to recommend that Governor Rod Blagojevich be impeached.
He has knowingly violated state procurement laws. He has knowingly violated state ethics laws. He has willfully violated court orders. He has driven our state to the edge of the abyss.
That's Representative Jack Franks, a longtime critic of the governor. The full House is expected to take a vote tomorrow. Blagojevich, who was charged last month with trying to sell Barack Obama's Senate seat to the highest bidder. A statement from his office calls the impeachment proceedings flawed and biased and says the outcome was a foregone conclusion. Mr. Obama took an urgent tone today when he made a speech making the case for a big new economic stimulus package.
I'm asking Congress to work with me and my team day and night, on weekends if necessary, to get the plan passed in the next few weeks.
If nothing is done, he said this recession could linger for years. At the UN right now, the Security Council has convened to vote on a Gaza ceasefire resolution worked out between the Western powers and key Arab nations. The fighting continued today as relief convoys tried to deliver aid. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick reports.
It was the biggest convoy since the Israeli offensive began. A long line of trucks crossed the southern border into Gaza.
Our truck is probably about 20 trucks back.
Cassandra Nelson of Mercy Corps has been trying for 10 days to get her truck in. It carries enough food to feed 2,000 people for a week.
Once we get them in, the challenge is going to be distributing the items within Gaza with all this violence and chaos going on.
A hint of that violence came as her truck rolled through the gate to Gaza. A rocket was launched, passing over our heads, landing in a field nearby. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, at the Kerem Shalom border crossing.
Al-Qaeda's operations chief in Pakistan and a top lieutenant are believed to be dead. This according to a U.S. counterterrorism official quoted by the Reuters news service. The official says Usama al-Kini was believed to be responsible for the September truck bombing of the Marriott Hotel in Islamabad that killed 55 people. The circumstances of his death are unclear, but it's probably not due to natural causes. Greg Bartlett, the sheriff in Morgan County, Alabama, only had to put up with jail food for one day. A federal judge who found him in contempt for skimping on inmate meals has ordered Bartlett's release after getting promises that the meals will improve. Olivia Turner of the ACLU in Alabama says prisoners were being malnourished.
We have added up what the maximum caloric intake could be for these prisoners, and often it is not enough for a healthy adult male by any means.
State law allows sheriffs to keep surplus funds from their food budgets. Over 3 years, Sheriff Bartlett pocketed $212,000. The Dow down 27 points today, the NASDAQ up 18. This is CBS News.
How to update your bathroom without money going down the drain. Step 1. Take a look at all the stylish faucets and fixtures at the Home Depot. Step 2. Take advantage of all the new lower prices you see. Step 3. Step back from your gorgeous bathroom and take it all in.
Updating your bathroom is easier than you think at the Home Depot. We've lowered the prices on your favorite brands. Kohler, Delta, Moen, American Standard, and more. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details.
People are feeling it a little more these days. The ows are getting a little more owier, and the uggs are getting just a little uglier. Shoulders and necks are tighter, and when you exercise to work it all out, the soreness can linger. Tiger Balm feels your pain. Stress can make you ache and ugh. Tiger Balm patches and ointments work fast, and they're the powerful way to conquer pain, no matter where it comes from. Go from ow to ah with Tiger Balm. Works where it hurts. Available every...
The number one ranked Florida Gators meet number two Oklahoma in the BCS championship game in Miami tonight. CBS News correspondent Peter King is there.
The Oklahoma Sooners were an offensive juggernaut this past season, scoring 60 or more points in five straight games. Nobody has done that since 1919. Florida Gators defense was eighth in the nation, but they only gave up as many as 21 points once. Tonight's game features two Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks. Florida's Tim Tebow won in 2007, while Oklahoma's Sam Bradford is the 2008 winner. Peter King, CBS News at Dolphin Stadium in Miami.
Well, it's really official now. On Capitol Hill, tellers for the House and Senate counted the Electoral College votes from the presidential election, and Vice President Dick Cheney announced the tally.
Barack Obama of the state of Illinois has received for President of the United States 365 votes.
John McCain got 173. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Marcia, what's with the grin?
I got great news at my savings checkup.
Your what?
The savings checkup I took at the Sam's Club Pharmacy. I found amazing prices on my monthly prescriptions, and I discovered that members saved as much as 28% last year on select over-the-counter medications. Plus, Sam's Club takes most insurance, and pharmacy staff are available for questions.
Wow, I've got to check that out.
Discover your prescription for terrific value. Visit your Sam's Club Pharmacy Friday and Saturday to take the savings checkup. For more information, go to samsclub.com/yourhealth.
Two drivers, two very different stories heading home on a dark evening.
I hit the open road.
A deer popped out of nowhere. I panicked.
I saw a deer in the road. I slowed down.
I jerked the wheel. I wish I could have seen it.
I drove around it and was home before the next song on the radio.
With Silver Star headlights from Sylvania, you'll see more of the road ahead. Remember, headlights dim over time. Replace them before you are left in the dark. Visit your automotive retailer and choose the whitest, brightest light. Silver Star headlights from Sylvania.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
One, two, three, four.
The world is watching, some of us helplessly, some of our leaders impotently, as the Israeli incursion into Gaza continues. It's day 13, and according to our reporter in Gaza, Sammy Habib, The death toll now stands at 770 Palestinians, some 3,200 injured. And this continues with a minor rocket attack occurring earlier today from southern Lebanon into northern Israel. And as we look at this development and see the Bush administration really sit on its hands and not move quickly to advocate for a ceasefire, either by contacting the parties or using the United Nations, we turn to Rabbi Michael Lerner of the Tikkun Movement and Tikkun Magazine. He is also the chair of the interfaith organization called the Network of Spiritual Progressives, and we'll tell you about their website in a moment. Rabbi Lerner, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's nice to talk with you, and I'd like to lead by quoting a couple of lines here from an op-ed published by former President Jimmy Carter in the Washington Post today. He opens, "I know from personal involvement that the devastating invasion of Gaza by Israel could easily have been avoided. After visiting Sderot last April and seeing the serious psychological damage caused by the rockets that had fallen in that area, my wife Rosalind and I declared their launching from Gaza to be inexcusable and an act of terrorism. Although casualties are rare, 3 deaths in 7 years, the town was traumatized by the unpredictable explosions, and about 3,000 residents had moved to other communities. Knowing that we would soon be seeing Hamas leaders from Gaza and also in Damascus, we promised to assess prospects for a ceasefire. From Egypt's intelligence chief Omar Suleiman, who was negotiating between the Israelis and Hamas, we learned there was a fundamental difference between the two sides. Hamas wanted a comprehensive ceasefire in both the West Bank and Gaza, and the Israelis refused to discuss anything other than Gaza." Do you agree with former President Carter that this invasion could have been avoided?
Totally. I totally agree with him. There was no reason for it whatsoever. There was no reason that it had to happen. Once we got to the end of that process in which Israel refused to consider a general ceasefire and in which Israel violated the terms of the ceasefire, although that had previously been negotiated, though I should acknowledge that the Hamas also violated those terms.
Indeed.
What? Yes, it
indeed.
Did.
Uh-huh.
It did, and it did it in response to what Israel was doing. It had a ceasefire, but the ceasefire was only for Gaza. So meanwhile, Israel is killing the Hamas leadership in the West Bank, and Hamas is saying, well, we can't do anything with it because we're supposed to have a ceasefire. So it was extremely unequal ceasefire, and of course Hamas said that this is no ceasefire at all.
Yeah.
If you're killing off our leaders in one place while supposedly we're supposed to not do anything in response. Don't get me wrong. Hamas is a terrible group. It's a group of people who are bent on the destruction of Israel, and they are completely without they attack without regard to the distinction between citizens, ordinary citizens, and people in the army. They attack every civilian as though they were the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no sympathy for Hamas, but I do understand that what Israel did was to make it impossible for Hamas to continue a ceasefire, and I think that actually was what the leadership in Israel wanted, because the current leadership, Barak, here we have Ehud Barak and Tzipi Livni, mm-hmm. and the Olmert, Ehud Olmert is leaving in shame.
Yeah.
They wanted to have some kind of military victory that would offset the shame of their last ridiculous incursion into Lebanon 2 years ago. So that for the sake of, and their elections coming up in mid-February,
right. Mm-hmm.
So they created circumstances in which they could be absolutely guaranteed that there would be an end to the ceasefire, and that Hamas would resume its attacks. Now, of course, Hamas fell right into that, but maybe Hamas also understood that it was that's what Israel wanted, and it wanted it too.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who are suffering, of course, are the Israeli citizens and the citizens of Gaza. These are the people who are really the pawns in the game of two forces that are acting in ways that violate human every standard of human rights and human decency.
Mm-hmm. And Rabbi Lerner, I'm not going to go, you know, neener here back and forth, and I'm not going to try to, you know, take us through every bit of history here. But I do think it's important to acknowledge the role that the occupation plays in radicalizing Palestinians, including those who gravitate to Hamas, whether they're members or supporters. And that the demands of Israel are things that, you know, are very hard for the Palestinians to accept as long as the occupation continues. So as Israel says, well, we'll agree to a ceasefire if they, you know, stop digging tunnels and smuggling in weapons and if they agree to stop firing rockets. But the, you know, the other side looks at this and says, well, as long as the occupation continues and construction of the wall continues and the illegal settlements continue, that we have no leverage here, and therefore we cannot capitulate to the terms demanded by Israel.
Yes, I totally agree with you that that is what they're saying, and that they've got a point. But you see, that's why what we're doing right now with Tikkun Magazine and the Network of Spiritual Progressives is we are collecting funds and signatures on a petition that we will put into the New York Times next week, a call to Obama, asking him to, first of all, call for a ceasefire, but secondly, asking him to convene an international conference to resolve the major issues between Israel and Palestine once and for all. Mm-hmm. In other words, the tragedy that we're facing at this moment shouldn't be resolved simply by a ceasefire and a return to the status quo ante, in part for the reasons you've just said, because the status quo is impossible for Palestinians to live under.
Yeah.
And it is unjust to the Palestinian people. And as a result, it leads to violence, and that violence is a response to the daily violence of the occupation.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say this side is right, that side is right. As far as my view and the view of Tikkun is, both sides have a legitimate narrative starting from 1948, or really starting from the beginning of the 20th century. Both sides have a legitimate narrative, and both sides are deeply screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And both sides need to repent for the ways that they have failed to recognize the humanity of the other and systematically treated the other as though they were less than human. So what we need to do instead is to get beyond the blame game and into the solution part.
Mm-hmm.
And the solutions, so this is why we are calling upon on President Obama to call for an international conference and to propose at that international conference terms that actually would provide a lasting settlement of the issues. And those include, number one, the creation of a Palestinian state in the West Bank and Gaza with only minor border changes to accommodate both a few of the settlements on they're very close to the Israeli border, and to give a comparable amount of land back to a new Palestinian state. But so, number one, a Palestinian state living in peace with Israel and recognition of Israel by Palestinians and all surrounding Arab states, and Israel recognizing the Palestinian state. Number two, the reparations for the Palestinian people. Because the Palestinian people, when you look at Gaza, the vast majority of people there either were refugees from Israel or the children of refugees from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They're there because they were pushed out of their homes in the struggle in 1948 and then were not allowed to return. So there have to be reparations for the Palestinian people, but also reparations for those Jews who fled Arab lands in the flare of anti-Semitism that happened from 1948 to 1967, subsequent to the creation of the State of Israel. Over a million Jews left Arab lands in the face of that anti-Semitism. So reparations for both sides, and that has to be funded in part by the world community, by the West, in part by the Arab oligarchy.
Yeah.
who have often used these Palestinians as a way to stir up the anger of their own population,
mm-hmm.
to focus on how bad Israel is and to not pay attention to the way that those oligarchies of the oil powers have used that oil money to enrich themselves and not to provide either for the well-being of their own people or for the well-being of the Palestinians. So when I met with the king of Saudi Arabia in Madrid in June, when I was invited to the conference that he had convened, I said to him, hey, what you need to do is to give some of your oil money to the rebuild Gaza and rebuild the, and then I met with their cabinet and I said the same thing to them. And they said, well, we're doing it. And I said, no, you're not. I know what the conditions are there, and I know what the conditions are in Lebanon, and what the conditions are for Palestinians living in Jordan, and they are atrocious, and you are not using your money in a way, a legitimate way. So this connects to the second part of our vision, which is that there needs to be a global Marshall Plan, and part of that, and the first location for that global Marshall Plan should be for the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
But our larger vision of Tikkun and the network of spiritual progressives is that we believe that what Obama should do is to begin to articulate a new worldview. And that new worldview is that homeland security and peace cannot be achieved through domination and military control, that at least an equal amount of energy has to be given to a spirit of generosity. But the spirit of generosity has to be backed up with the material of generosity, which is a domestic and global Marshall Plan to once and for all end both domestic and global poverty, homelessness, hunger, inadequate education, inadequate health care.
And there's a lot more information at the website, spiritualprogressives.org.
People can sign the ad calling for this at the mm-hmm. website, at that website, or tikkun.org, T-I-K-K-U-N.org. Or
right.
Come, I'm a rabbi in San Francisco, and we have services there and a very different kind of Jewish experience, but our organization is not just for Jews.
All right, we're going to take a break and we'll return. And again, the website, spiritualprogressives.org. Take a look. The details of the Global Marshall Plan proposal are right there. We'll return with Rabbi Michael Lerner in a moment. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with us at 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in King City, we have a traffic hazard on County Road G15 at County Road G16. There are loose cattle in the road. And in Santa Cruz on the southbound one at State Park Drive, there is a piece of scaffolding in the slow lane, so watch out there. Taking a look at Hollister-Gilroy on Fairview Road at Santa Ana Road, we have a traffic collision with an ambulance responding. There's also a traffic hazard on the southbound 101 just south of Monterey Road. In weather, today is mostly clear. We've got highs in the upper 50s with lows in the 40s. Currently, it's 56 and fair in Monterey, Salinas is 59 and sunny, and Santa Cruz is 56 and partly cloudy. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have an awesome afternoon. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Rabbi Michael Lerner of Tikkun and the Network for Spiritual Progressives. During the commercial break, I logged on to spiritualprogressives.org. It's a busy website. You click on Get Involved, and then a window comes up that shows campaigns, and one says Gaza. And when you click on that, it enables you to add your name to the list of endorsers of this full-page ad that will be published in the New York Times next week. And once again, the website is spiritualprogressives.org. It only took me like a minute and a half to go through that, and I encourage you to do the same and add your voice to a call for a ceasefire and a commission, a whole effort to bring peace to the Middle East. And it's part of the larger proposal of this Marshall Plan described by Rabbi Lerner. Here's Nancy from Winters, and I'll identify Nancy as a board member of the Teach Peace organization. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Peter. Hello, Rabbi.
Hi.
Before I ask my question, I was just going to tell you I called my representatives and told them that they need to read your article that I read on Truth Out and basically that, you know, detailing some of the things that you've been talking about. I think it's you have fantastic ideas.
Well, and Nancy, it was your tip-off that caused us to call Rabbi Lerner, so I thank you.
Oh, great. Anyway, my question is, when Jimmy Carter met with Hamas, I read that in Haaretz that 66% of Israelis supported his meeting, saying that all groups need to be brought into the peace process. And I'm wondering, what is the feeling now of the general population in Israel?
Well, I think that everybody understands that there has to be a conversation with Hamas. But it's the leadership there is, in this respect, has been responding a lot to the pressure from the White House. The White House sees Hamas as a tool of Iran, and it has had the position of no conversations with Iran. So it has tried to push Israel in that same direction, and the Israeli leadership has responded. But I think that when we have new leadership in the White House, we may have a different approach. And in fact, today the newspaper the Haaretz reports that there is an attempt now to have a conversation directly in Egypt with the Egyptians, but the Egyptians are sitting right next to the Hamas people. In other words, they're having the conversation, but they're not officially announcing that they're having conversations with Hamas, but they are having conversations with Hamas in the direction of some kind of ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy, thank you. And Rabbi Lerner, yesterday on our program, we were talking about this, and it was a conservative Republican, Bruce Fein, who blurted out, you know, Obama says only one president at a time, and so he's keeping quiet about this Israeli incursion into Gaza. At the same time, he's, articulating economic plans, domestic plans, and
yes,
all kinds of roles where, you know, he is, in essence, an acting president.
Exactly.
What do you think is an appropriate move for him to make at this time that wouldn't compromise the outgoing Bush administration, but would really set his markers on these issues?
Well, at the very least, he could say, I implore all the parties to cease fire. He could easily say that without, you know, and say, look, I'm not speaking as the President of the United States. I'm speaking as a citizen, but I join with other citizens in this country who feel that a ceasefire and the end of the violence should happen immediately. But, of course, what we're calling for is for him to take another step, which is to announce that when he's president, we're not talking about months from now. We're talking about 12 days.
Right. Yeah.
In 12 days from now, that he will call for the convening of an international conference to resolve these issues. And, by the way, I think that if he were to say that, it would become easier for Hamas to accept a ceasefire, because for the reasons that you said, that you articulated before, Hamas doesn't want to take a ceasefire if the ceasefire means continuation of the occupation,
yeah,
because the occupation is itself an act of violence,
right,
and it involves daily violence against a million and a half Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
So those of us who want peace also want know that the only way to protect Israel is to give a strong and just solution to the Palestinian people as well.
Rabbi Michael Lerner, thank you for joining us today, and I appreciate your leadership on these issues.
Thank you so much.
SpiritualProgressives.org. Sign the petition. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond, inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And here's some great music that you only hear in the corporate media on commercials for shampoo and Saab automobiles. But I like it anyway.
Are you ready? Are you steady? Shall we go?
We're in the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome on any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And if you're listening on our newest affiliate, AM 1510 in Boston, you get special treatment here. I've got a free DVD. And also, our free book deal continues. We're purging books.
Ready, steady, go!
Yeah, clearing off the Bush-bashing bookshelf to make room for Obama-bashing titles. It'll be coming in any day now. And no matter where you call from, just say, I want a book.
Ready, go!
And I'll give you your choice of a couple of titles. I keep a box right here to my left. All you got to do is pick up the phone, give us a call. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And a shout-out to our weekend listeners in Portland, Oregon on KPOJ 620. And Peter B. is back in Seattle on the mighty AM 1090 KPTK. We had a little hiatus there that I didn't ask for. But I said, hey, why don't we continue? And Carrie Kurlop said, okay, we'll put you back on. Hope you didn't miss us too much there in the great Northwest. 888-573-8372. Your calls are welcome right here in the free speech zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. And every week we like to check in with the news that you'll never find in the corporate media. That's right. The exclusive investigative reporting of R.J. Shulman is available only on the Internet. He got there first before the Christian Science Monitor stopped publishing a newspaper every day. And it's interesting how they have followed your lead. R.J., first report of the year. Welcome to the program.
Welcome, Peter B. It's to the new year. How are you doing?
I'm holding up okay. How about you?
Doing great here.
Yeah. And what is the latest at the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch? You have an interesting angle on Al Franken, who
That's right.
may
Al
be
Franken
the next
is.
Senator.
He's a flip-flopper.
Yeah, tell me why.
Well, he has changed his stance on torture. And as you know, he's been against torture all these years.
Right.
And but he's changed his mind.
Now, this doesn't make any sense because Bush is out, Obama's in, Obama's appointed anti-torture people like Leon Panetta, and this great woman, Dawn Johnson, who's going to run the Office of Legal Counsel where the torture memos came from. So did somebody forget to keep Al in the loop?
No, actually, the reason that he's for torture now, he says it's okay if it's Bill O'Reilly who's being tortured.
Oh, I see. Well, I could abide by that exception myself.
Yeah, this all started when Bill O'Reilly said on his show that the thought of saying the word Senator Franken is pure torture.
Yeah.
And so that's where this whole thing started. But Bill O'Reilly has just been going absolutely crazy over the apparent victory of Al Franken.
And you got to an insider there, a producer at Fox News Channel, Wanda Feely.
Yeah.
When I first told Bill that Franken was going to be declared the winner, he let out such a blood-curdling scream that I thought someone had attached electrodes to his nether parts.
Yeah, that's an actual quote. He has been screaming so much that Dick Cheney, who was in the other studio next to it with his interview on Fox and Friends, said that the shrieks that he heard coming from Mr. O'Reilly were the kind I've only heard from someone we were waterboarding, specifically those that didn't quite make it.
Ooh, wow. You know, that Dick Cheney has been so open and frank and direct and willing to admit to the crimes he's committed. You just know that guy has the security of a pardon in his future, don't you?
Well, wouldn't it be great if Bush, through either on purpose or maybe just pure incompetence, leaves his name off?
Well, I think Dick is handling the lists. I mean, just like he picked the vice president, you can expect that he'll make sure that he's taken care of. Now, you also note that with the Middle East blowing up, that George W. Bush has completed his quest. The legacy is secure.
That's correct. Everybody's claiming now, even some Republicans, that Bush is a failure. But Bush, in his own mind, is a success because he wanted to be number one at something.
Yeah.
And the way he could be number one was, as he says here, number one at being bad. And so, with everybody saying that he's the worst president ever, he has completed his mission. You know, there's two things that he's number one at, the president who most looks like a chimp, and also the worst president ever.
And, I'm going to miss this because I have credited you, R.J. Shulman, as being the guy who gets the verbatim quotes from George W. Bush and publishes them as is. You don't scrub the quotes. You don't clean them up. You don't fix his bad grammar. You should technically use that Latin term SIC when you publish some of this blather, but, I'll leave that to your editors to work you over on that. So you have this quote from Bush. There is no doubtification in my mind that I am now the worstest president ever. Yep, I'm number one. See, I didn't want to be one of those presidents that school kids forget, like Martin Van Bureaucrat or Millard Filibuster. And since I couldn't compete with the great presidents like Washington, Lincoln, and Petraeus, I would have to be best at being bad. Has he been listening to George Thorogood records, you think?
I think you could say that he's bad to the bone. And you would be politically correct.
All right, one more here. And this has to do with, it appears that Rod Blagojevich has prevailed and that the Democrats have mud on their boots, egg on their faces, and they've got to find a seat for Roland Burris in the U.S. Senate.
Well, there's a movement by some of the senators, led by Senator Reid, that they may be so ashamed of what's happened here that they may refuse to seat themselves next week.
Really?
Yeah, they may just say, you know what, we're not going to seat anybody on the Democratic side because of the taint of this Illinois governor.
Wow. So does that mean it'll be standing room only? They'll just remove the chairs?
I think that'll just be Republicans only.
I see.
Because they don't care about stuff that happens, David Vitter ran into trouble. Who cares? Larry Craig, whether he's gay or not, nobody cared. It was just, if you're Republican, it's okay.
Yeah, Ted Stevens got a standing O for 7 felony
that's
convictions.
Right. that's right. I mean, you get a standing ovation for, all 7.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got 7 out of 7. You got to say that's a winning combination.
Yeah. So, again, you have great quotes here. David Vitter of Louisiana, I don't see what all the fuss is about. He, of course, was involved in the D.C. Madam scandal. He was on the list, and he acknowledged he used some of those professional services. So he says, I guess that means Republicans will have complete control of the Senate. And what is most important now, said Larry Craig of Idaho, is that all of us in the Senate come together and unite in one chorus saying, Larry Craig is not gay. Now, isn't Larry Craig finally gone?
Well, the ghost of Larry Craig will be there forever. If not in the Senate, in a certain bathroom stall in Minneapolis.
Well, read all about it on the web at ptsd1.blogspot.com. That's the website of the Post-Time Sun-Dispatch, ptsd1.blogspot.com. R.J. Shulman, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter B.
This part of the program sponsored by...
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Most people go to the airport bathroom to relieve themselves before their next flight. But not you. No. You're looking to become a member of the Ground Level Club.
Not what they mean by a layover.
You, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, voted against gay marriage. That's because you want to have as many partners as you can, in as many cans as you can.
A romantic toilet rendezvous.
Come on, sir. You are gay, aren't you?
That's not what I said on C-SPAN. No.
So the next time you're in the airport lavatory stall and see a polished wingtip tap, tap, tapping to make your acquaintance, run away, or you might be the belle of the bathroom ball with Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, a real American hero.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
We're in the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome, and nobody's on the line right now. And I've just violated one of the biggest rules of talk radio, where the host never admits that there's not actually anybody on the line. But listeners often figure it out when the host keeps rambling and mentions the number about 18 times in a row. So I just like to be honest, and you're welcome to call. I'll keep talking. You don't have to worry about me. But I'd love to hear your comments at 888-5-PETER-B. And one thing we haven't talked about, at least since the new year started, is the quest of Caroline Kennedy to be the replacement senator for Hillary Clinton from the state of New York. And I'd like to hear what your current thoughts are about this, particularly if you're in New England, our new listeners on AM 1510 in Boston, where the Kennedy name is golden, and where there's still a lot of people who remember that she's the daughter of John F. Kennedy. I find this interesting because some of the news accounts don't even mention that. They mention, oh, she's the niece of Bobby Kennedy, who was the senator from New York. He carpet-bagged up there after he had been the attorney general. And so there is that rich history of A. Kennedy in the Senate from the state of New York. But I'd like to hear your thoughts about that. Do you think it's a good idea? And would you like to see more information about Caroline Kennedy and her political positions before she is appointed to that post?
The right to breathe air that nature provided it, the right of future generations to a healthy existence.
And Maureen Dowd came back from a holiday break and published a column about Caroline Kennedy. And she pretty clearly is in favor of it. She writes here, some people complain that the 51-year-old Harvard and Columbia Law School grad and author is not a glib professional Paul who knows how to artfully market herself and who hasn't spent her life glad-handing, backstabbing, and log-rolling. I say, thank God. The press whines that she doesn't have a pat answer about why she wants the job. I've interviewed a score of men running for president. Not one had a good answer for why he wanted it. And one more quote from Dowd. I know Caroline Kennedy. She's smart, cultivated, serious, and unpretentious. The Senate, shamefully sparse on profiles and courage during Dick Cheney's reign of terror, would be lucky to get her. And believe me, she walks a whole lot better than Alphonse D'Amato. Is that the criteria? Oh, boy. Billy in Capitola, you're back. Hi, Billy.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
So Sarah Palin says about the press would treat Kennedy a whole lot better because, you know, it's a class thing. And I said to myself, yeah, you have none.
Well, I want people to go to YouTube. This interview that we played a clip from last hour is 9 minutes long, and it's a hoot without a laugh track.
I'm telling you, she's something else. Now, I do want to look at all of these Senate seats that are available, because as far as I'm concerned, they all are bad. Obviously, the Blago thing we don't have to talk about.
Yeah.
The thing that troubles me is the Biden thing, which to me is exactly the same as pay for play, as far as I can tell. Didn't they put some guy in there who agreed to go away so that Biden's son could have the seat?
Yeah, you didn't know the Biden family owns that? They have title to that Delaware Senate seat.
No, seriously, isn't that a violation of this whole concept here? Why isn't that trading a seat for a job for somebody?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the patsy, we can't even think of his name. He's a staffer from Biden's Senate office who's agreed to take the job for 2 years. And then when Beau comes back from Iraq, he, of course, is the attorney general, I think, of the state of Delaware right now. He will just glide into his daddy's seat. And I don't like that. I don't appreciate that. But we do have to recognize, and Tom Gagin, who is a distant relative of mine, has an op-ed piece that was on the same page with Maureen Dowd's column on Wednesday. And he argues that governors should not have the right to fill Senate vacancies. And I could see that there should be some other mechanism here, because these vacancies do arise at often at odd times. And to give one person, a governor, so much power really is undemocratic.
Yeah, but the states don't have any money to run these special elections. We're all tapped out.
Well, yeah.
You know, on the Caroline thing, Maury Dowd, of course, was what you read about was exactly right. But I got to tell you, I really don't like seeing power concentrated in the hands of the people it's always been concentrated with. I hate this family dynasty thing. Yeah. Other than that, she's great.
Yeah. Well, and I just wish she would go a little further here in defining herself. She's using some of the same tactics Sarah Palin did. She's got limited access to the press. She puts out bland, broad statements about things she believes in, mostly education. And she has said she would have voted against the war in Iraq, but we don't have any other details about the most critical issues of the last 8 years. And I think that, you know, the governor deserves to have that information. And we see that Andrew Cuomo, appears to be putting up some sort of resistance and trying to say, hey, I'm over here, governor. Don't forget about me.
Another political family there, Peter B.
Yep,
come on.
Yep.
See the problem I'm having?
Yeah, Billy, move back to New York and throw your hat in the ring, will you?
I think after my 45 minutes with you the other day, I am unelectable.
Okay, Billy, thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll take a break and return in just a moment. There's room for your call if you want to call me. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in King City, we have a traffic hazard on County Road G15 at County Road G16. There are loose cattle on the road. And in Santa Cruz on the southbound one at State Park Drive, there is a piece of scaffolding in the slow lane, so watch out there. Taking a look at Hollister Gilroy on Fairview Road at Santa Ana Road, we have a traffic collision with an ambulance responding. There's also a traffic hazard on the southbound 101 just south of Monterey Road. In weather, today is mostly clear. We've got highs in the upper 50s with lows in the 40s. Currently, it's 56 and fair in Monterey. Salinas is 59 and sunny. And Santa Cruz is 56 and partly cloudy. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have an awesome afternoon. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
What would life be without flowers? It would be like a birthday cake with no candles, a wedding with no ring. It would be like a graduation without friends and relatives, a promotion without a raise. Thankfully, life is full of flowers and reasons to give them. In fact, sometimes the best reason is no reason at all. And all you have to do is stop by or call Ferrari Florists and Gifts. You see, flowers from Ferrari Florists and Gifts are more personal and special because whatever you're celebrating, we can create unique arrangements from a wide selection of fresh-cut flowers, and we can deliver them the same day, so you can enjoy life and even declare your love with flowers. Call Ferrari Florists and Gifts today at 460-7000. Or visit our website at www.ferrariflorist.com, and we'll help you realize the true potential of flowers. Ferrari Florists and Gifts, 514 Front Street, Santa Cruz, experts in the art of expression.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today, after penning a new book blasting, quote, the way liberals use victimhood to achieve success, Ann Coulter, well, played the victim, claiming that NBC and others in the mainstream media have shunned her.
I know the whole thing was a setup to block me from other TV shows. I know that their one conservative host, Scarborough, the head producer, told the publicist, no, I think we'll pass on this book, just the best-selling conservative author in America. This is very upsetting. This is like being fired from Chrysler.
CBS's The Early Show host, Harry Smith, challenged Coulter on these comments.
You talk about victims and victimhood in America. On the other hand, the more I listened to your complaints, the more I kept thinking, well, you're the whiner. You're the one who's claiming victimhood here, that you're the victim of this great left-wing conspiracy.
No, I'm not.
But in the end, NBC did interview Ann Coulter on the Today Show the following morning. For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where we favor progressive politics and electric guitars. This is Iggy Pop from a solo record. Got a great guitar riff on it. It's called Cry for Love. On Iggy Pop's driver's license, the name reads James Osterberg. And the original Stooges lost their original guitarist. Ron Ashton, the guitarist for the Stooges going way back to 1967, passed away at the age of 60 in Ann Arbor, Michigan the other day. And I've always had a soft spot for the Stooges and Iggy Pop. They came out of that Detroit era of crunch rock. MC5, Bob Seger when he was playing real rock and roll, Ted Nugent and the Amboy Dukes. I mean, Detroit was a powerhouse scene for electric guitars. And this guy, Ron Ashton, was a real leader. Now, of course, the Stooges had an up-and-down life, and the band really broke up in 1974. But there was a reunion. In 2003, they got back together and toured doing more than 150 dates. And I recall in the summer of 2008, there was just a little squib of a story in one of the newspapers I read that said on this reunion tour that they were underway with this past year that their van or truck that had all their equipment was broken into in Detroit, right there in their own backyard. And all the equipment was stolen. So it's just another icon passing into the Rock and Roll Great Hall of Fame. And if you remember the Stooges, I hope you'll remember Ron Ashton. Well, we're close to the final moments here of the Peter B. Collins Show today. I want to thank you for joining us. Thank all our guests, Faz Shakir, Mel Goodman, Scott Dick, and Rabbi Michael Lerner. And I don't want to give short shrift to R.J. Shulman. He's an incredible guy. I invite you to visit my website at peterbcollins.com for a couple of reasons. One is that's where you can catch the live stream and also get our podcasts. I want to thank all the people who podcast this show every day. I got a sneak look at some of the statistics, and it's quite impressive. I was very pleased to see how many people all across the country grab this show, download it, and put it on your iPod or other player every day. And I'm grateful because, well, there's some work involved, and a lot of people don't bother to do that. But if you're a podcaster out there, I appreciate it very much. Spread the word to your other Wired friends and let them know that they can access the Peter B. Collins Show in the same manner. And I also want to thank all the people who have helped us over the last 6 months. We've had financial problems just like many American businesses. I'm an independent show. This program is not owned by Air America or Nova M or anybody else. And I'm responsible for the losses, and it's been hard. And the financial crunch of the last year was especially difficult. And many people came to our aid with $5, $10 here and there. And if you'd like to assist us, we're still working to keep this show on the air and to expand it into other cities. You can visit my website at peterbcollins.com and click on the link, the tab there that says You Can Help. And there's information there, including a free book offer if you want to make a contribution. You can get yourself a copy of an exciting new novel that's based on fact and truth-telling technology. It's called The Najik Pheromone, and it's written by Michael Hemp. And we can award you a copy. Just visit the website, and all the details are there. Once again, that's www.peterbcollins.com. So thanks again. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same great radio stations, or in your earbuds if that's how you get it. Happy trails until then.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing.
Whatever happened to Jake in Eureka?
Slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A statement from the office of Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich says it's not a surprise. A special House panel has voted unanimously to recommend that Blagojevich be impeached. Some voting yes called it a sad day, but Representative Bill Black said it's a happy day because it shows nobody is above the law.
There have been egregious abuses if what we read, if half of what we read is true, and I hope the message is received by all those in office and all those who will seek office in the future. Enough is enough. No more.
The full House will vote on an impeachment resolution tomorrow. Earlier in the day, the man Blagojevich appointed to fill Barack Obama's Senate seat appeared before the panel. Roland Burris denied under oath that he'd made any deal with the governor.
Knowing my ethics, I would not participate in anybody's quid pro quo. I've been in government for 20 years and never participated in anybody's quid pro quo.
He's hoping to persuade Senate leaders to seat him. In the Gaza crisis, the action is at the UN this evening. The Security Council has gathered to vote on a ceasefire resolution negotiated by the Western powers and key Arab states. It would provide the framework for an agreement on reopening border crossings and halting the smuggling of missiles to Hamas. CBS News has confirmed the two al-Qaeda leaders were killed in a U.S. missile strike in Pakistan's tribal areas on New Year's Day. One of them, Usama al-Kini, was al-Qaeda's operations chief in Pakistan, believed to be responsible for September's deadly car bombing at the Marriott Hotel in Islamabad. President-elect Obama, in a speech today, called on Congress to work nights and weekends to produce an economic stimulus package by the end of the month.
For every day we wait or point fingers or drag our feet, more Americans will lose their jobs. More dreams will be deferred and denied. And our nation will sink deeper into a crisis that at some point we may not be able to reverse.
Some of his fellow Democrats have doubts about Mr. Obama's tax cut plans. This is North Carolina and North Dakota Democrat Kent Conrad.
Those things that are marginal incentives, for example, the jobs credit, $3,000 credit for hiring people, don't work very well in this economic circumstance.
Rivers are still rising in western Washington state, suffering through its worst floods ever. Heather Bosch of Station KIR.